If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Why do you like doing this to yourself?
Because I have a lot of money. I'm a ritual motivation.
Tell me you're going to stop drinking. Tell me right now. Or I'm not going to talk to you ever again. And I will totally disown you because it's not fair to admit your family what you're doing.
I'll be fine.
A man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
This is a mess.
All right, so we have 6 cans of beer. This one is being shaken up very violently. Now what we're going to do is we're going to walk along with this little U.S. mail container. We're going to mix them up. You won't know which one's been shaken up.
You know, why did I take over now?
Bean, why don't you take over?
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
And now, we are anonymous. We listen to Kevin and Bean on K-Rock 106.7. We do not forgive, we do not forget, expect us.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, how what?
Yeah.
Come on.
Groundhog Day, Groundhog Day, ooh, Groundhog Day. Winter predictions are gonna happen. Punxsutawney.
Phil.
Groundhog Day, outside my window.
Even trying.
Groundhog Day, behind a tree. We wait for Punxsutawney.
Phil.
Is it his shadow that he will see? And it's Groundhog Day, outside my window plane.
Our shadow. I'm Groundhog. That Bill Murray movie. People in Pennsylvania are stupid. I'm Punxsutawney Phil, bitch. It all happens at Gobbler's Knob. That just sounds funny. Gobbler's Knob. Stupid tradition. 6 more weeks of winter. Or we're gonna have an early spring. I'm a groundhog.
Groundhog Day, outside my window. Groundhog Day, behind a tree.
I'm up to get a copy of that.
That's good work right there, ladies and gentlemen. Our own DJ Omar Khan. Everything's gonna be all right.
Continuing the tradition. I'm so happy.
How dare he say Groundhog Day? Oh, wait.
Now, where are the black people protesting that one? Because it's based on Halloween spooks. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm sure they're coming.
Yeah.
I think the people are coming who are going to just say, that's really bad.
I can't argue with that at all.
That's not a good song.
I was so excited when Omar sent that to me yesterday. I wrote him back an email. I said, you are the greatest human on earth.
Yeah.
I love those songs so much.
I know.
I do
so
too.
Look forward to them.
Yeah.
That Bill Murray movie.
They're not.
What the hell was that?
I know.
One of the worst I've ever heard. I hate you so much, I want to shoot you in your face. Yep.
Honey, I like you, but you're just not right for this competition.
Yo, dog, I got to tell you, for me, man, that was not even half good, dude.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. What are you going to do?
Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you.
We all surmised yesterday, it was actually Psycho Mike's idea, I think, that it was very clever that you invented this whole fantasy scenario about someone in your family being sick and happened to go to the city where the Super Bowl was. We thought, how much tailgating does Kevin need to do? We're stunned, frankly, to see you. I don't know, you're screwing with our minds now because clearly you're going back, but we can't figure out how you're going to work it.
If I were doing that, it's bad timing, don't you think?
To go early instead of later in the week?
Yeah, this past weekend?
I just figured you needed a whole week. Mm. I couldn't figure out how much Super Bowl stuff was going on, but I figured that had to be it.
Dude, I got to tell you, hospitals are not a fun place.
No.
At all.
Not at all.
Even with Super Bowl parties?
Mm.
They don't have them there?
Didn't really have them. And my parents live near an old folks community. Mm-hmm. So there are
Say that as if they're not old folks, by the way.
No, I know, but they're not compared to the 95-year-olds that all live there.
Right.
And the hospital is just full of old people. Just old people everywhere.
Yeah.
God's waiting room, man.
I got to tell you. And I was talking to my wife on the phone, and I asked the woman, where can I talk on the cell phone? Because my dad was in intensive care. So you take the phone. She said, oh, you can go out in the hallway. Okay. So I went out in the hallway, and I was talking on the phone. I see this woman walking down the hallway, and she's just looking at me and just shaking her head no. And I thought, well, I checked. I know I can talk on the cell phone here. And so I talked a little bit longer. She got a little bit closer. I looked back up again, and she was still shaking her head no. And I was in a bad mood because, my dad was in intensive care. So I said, what? I checked! And then she walked by and I realized she had whatever that disease is where she has to shake her head involuntarily.
Parkinson's disease?
What's it called, Lisa?
Parkinson's disease.
Oh, that's what gives you the shakes?
And I thought, I am a gigantic a-hole. I'm yelling at a woman who can't help it.
Practically bowled her over.
I wanted to punch her, and then I thought, oh, damn. Sorry. Sorry.
Kevin, you better hope you die young so that you don't have to be self-hating when you get to be an old person.
I know.
Because otherwise, you'd have to. If you're 80, you have to just sit there and hate yourself for being 80, the way you hate 80-year-olds now.
Yeah, every time he gets a whiff of himself, that old smell. Old people smell.
That's right.
Can old people smell themselves?
I don't know. That is
that's a good
really
question, right?
Good question.
I don't know.
Because I think they must not be able to, or they would do something.
If they can, you're right. I'll have to take my own life. I mean, I don't really have any other option.
Yeah, that, I think that's
I
the
insist.
Only answer.
The way you've been talking about old people.
Well, you missed this poor woman.
That's funny. Mm. You did miss a lot of excitement while you were gone. It's funny because when you're here, it doesn't seem like much happens. But when you're gone, it seems like you miss a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? I don't mean you. I mean any of us.
Yes.
It just, you know, it seems like day to day we're just doing a show. But then when you're away for a couple of days, you go, wow, I can't believe how much stuff I missed. There's going to be some sort of FBI fingerprint expert apparently coming in, and all the staff is going to be lining up in the conference room sometime this week or next, Kevin.
Why?
It's true.
Apparently, Lightning's $1 million Lightning Scorsese video camera walked away from the morning show office. The one that you put in the request that took months to get for him to be able to make his videos that we put up at KRock.com?
Was he on the floor in the office in the fetal position sobbing?
He's been handling it pretty well, but I will tell you that it is a great mystery because it is put in a location that not a lot of people have access to, but apparently they are all going to be – they're dusting it for fingerprints. They're going to bring him in. They're going to put him on a lie detector, and they're going to really – like they're going for it.
This shall not stand.
The case that it comes in
is
still there.
Ooh,
so someone
just
opened the case and took the camera. So it's clearly theft. It wasn't like someone took it to film something. Or
maybe we could also track down the phantom pooper while they're here.
Great. Oh, that'd be cool.
Might as well ask them the question since they're on the lie detector anyway.
Do you even attempt to poop in the toilet?
That'd be question one.
So when's that happening? The next couple of weeks? Well, they're getting right on that, aren't they? No chance of the crime scene being disturbed at all?
Well, I don't think they're worried about the crime scene. If they have the case and they can dust for fingerprints, they can do that anytime.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But then it's a question of all the people who had access to that room. So that's been the big K-Rock mystery while you've been
gone. The lie detector test. That's going to be cool.
I hope we get that moment of truth, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We got to
throw in a bunch.
Everything we ever wanted
we can
do now.
Did you steal the camera, and are you repulsed by fat people? Those are going to be the kinds of questions we're going to ask.
I'd like to suggest perhaps Lightning stole it and put it up on eBay.
I don't
Anyone
think
checking
so.
That?
All
right.
I don't think Lightning is a lot of things. I don't think he's a sabotaging thief. I don't think that's him.
The way we found out, it's not Lightning because do you remember Monday we were supposed to go to Doto's house?
Yeah.
That's how we found out.
Oh.
And Lightning comes in after the show and I got the directions to Doto's house, the whole deal. And he looks at me, and goes, I guess you're off the hook. And I said, well, what do you mean, Lightning? I'm all set to go. Let's do this. Camera. Not so much here. It's gone. And I said, well, check with Jack. Check with everyone that might... No. Case open. Still there. Camera gone. And you could see the defeat in his face. Like,
so you took a tape recorder. I mean, you took a recorder and just went because it's radio.
No.
Didn't do that.
Once we've moved to video, we can't go back.
No longer?
Kevin.
Cannot
do.
Yeah.
Wow. Lighting thinks radio's dead. It's all about video.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Doto's got a gun and no one cares. That's what you're saying.
Well, I think the beauty...
Doto stole it.
Well, that could be...
Broke in with his weapon. Took it.
He doesn't have access to that room. I mean, it was locked up.
Right.
Yeah, when Doto turns out to be the next Virginia Tech shooter, we're going to all say we wish we'd gotten there in time.
Yeah, but Mike couldn't go because they didn't have a video camera.
Exactly.
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean.
What's that?
I need a woman.
Okay.
All right, so FBI fingerprinting. Good.
Yes. The Armenian comedian is being flown out to Miami and is auditioning for Last Comic Standing. We talked to him yesterday. He seems to think this is going to be the big breakthrough.
He's
in it to win it. And with the material he had yesterday, Lisa, is there any question that he'll make the show?
His first line for for the opening of his set was awesome. It also was about 5 minutes long.
Oh, good. Yeah. Did you understand it? Did you recognize it as a joke, as some kind of setup slash punchline?
Now, you know how it is with Sam. You just have to wait till he stops talking, and that's when you assume the punchline has been given. Yeah.
You think Iraq war have war? No war like war in home with my, I tell you, sister-in-laws with it. No like Iraq is war awesome. Time my house.
It's very close.
How does he not win that?
I don't know, but I'm very excited that he's going to be on that. So that was exciting. What else did Kevin miss?
Psycho Mike is an AM radio star.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What's that
apparently
about?
the hot new song on Bill Handel's show over at KFI, the pick hit to click is Brow Down. Apparently they're playing that like crazy. Yes, Brow Down is very popular over there now.
What?
We determined there's some sort of delay. You know, it's like international releases of a movie. They come out, you know, weeks apart. Apparently it takes about 6 months for something to get from FM to AM.
By the way, speaking of which, I was in Phoenix for 5 days. I heard on an FM station, hey, this is our song to, vote for it or give us the thumbs down. It's The Pretender by Foo Fighters. Here you go. Give it a listen. I thought, what? Kind
that was
of
their,
crazy
their new
time
music?
Warp. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, they were playing it for the first time and they wanted to get the feedback.
Oh, my God.
Kind of the same thing. What the hell? Psycho Mike on AM radio. That's awesome. Against us. Good. Good work.
And probably beating us.
Yeah, very, very clearly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we'll think of other stuff throughout the day, but it's good to have you back.
Why are we, why did we talk about people getting fights with five-year-olds? What was that about?
We don't have, it's
read
already,
email.
It's already too late for us to tell you that story. We'll update you later.
Well, at least we don't have some tape from 1990 when we first came on the air. That's good.
That's apparently for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Ralph said he had so much tape that he needed two breaks to do it in today. He couldn't fit it all in one because there was so much to make fun of. And I don't remember any of this tape. I've heard some of it, Kevin. I don't remember any of it.
What a surprise. So,
let's see if you do.
I'm sure I won't.
Yeah, right.
You will not be pleased. You will not be proud.
There's a movie called Strange Wilderness. It looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk to Steve Zahn today.
Who is awesome.
Very excited
He's
about
always
that.
Great.
American Idol highlights. I guess there was some more bad ones last night.
Yes, more bad.
Still doing bad. I like that.
They were in, had 10,000 people show up in Omaha, Nebraska last night.
Wow. And none of them were good, I'm guessing?
Well, I think they put 18 through out of 10,000.
That's unbelievable.
We're going to talk to TV superstar John Cryer.
Yes.
Talking about his Giants. Very excited.
Yep. I've seen him on TV doing it.
He is mouthing off, I'm telling you. He's, of course, one of the stars of Two and a Half Men, and he believes the Giants will beat the Patriots.
Yeah, but I mean, really?
No, but he really does.
That's what we'll find out. Does he just wish it, or does he really think it's going to happen?
Even Giants fan can look at that and go,
You can root for them, but do you believe that they'll win?
Now let's ask him if you put any money on it.
There you go.
Maybe let's get the FBI over there. Fingerprint them. Lie detector test. And I'm not sure if you guys have the answer or not, but I was hoping that I could locate some pride today.
Yeah. I know a store that sells it. Yeah,
probably,
absolutely.
Because I need some pride, and I haven't been able to find it.
Oh, yeah. We got a place. We got a perfect place for you that we will hook you up with.
And we have an angry midget, apparently. So
we got an angry midget, and we also are going to tell you, maybe this is a future Kevin Bean singles party, we're going to tell you about the German airline that is now offering a service where you fly nude.
Oh,
you have to get on with clothes and get off with clothes, but you take them off for the duration of the flight.
Mm.
This is for real.
I just picture gigantic German women.
Yeah.
Well,
and those
I don't think
seats,
I want to see that.
You don't want to sit in those
no.
seats.
Yeah. We do have many questions for them, but we've got that story coming up for you, too.
Seats. Oh, dear God.
Ralph, who's your blonde friend? What's going on down there?
My blonde friend is Charlize Theron. Who's your blonde friend?
Oh.
I wish she was here instead of me.
Yeah. Oh, this dude is.
By the way, speaking of Paramore, they're playing in Germany. And
Germany, though?
I can't remember. I think it's the capital, whatever city that is.
What city is that?
I believe it's Berlin.
All right, Berlin. Berlin in
what
concert.
Happened?
Oh, sorry.
In
this
Paramoria.
Is why you can't say the word.
I didn't realize.
All right, Berlin. Berlin.
Anyway.
World Tour. Roddy and the Rock, 106.7.
Roddy, let me just get this out.
Berlin playing live. Terry Nunn in
no,
Paramoria.
Berlin is not playing.
That's the city.
Is Berlin.
Berlin
right.
in Livermore.
Nope, it's Paramore in Berlin, Germany. And the grand prize drawing for that is going to be Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. You qualify by winning tickets to see them at the Bamboozle Left Festival coming up in April with My Chemical Romance and more. Tickets to win for that on the way from K-Rock. It's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Brauman at 5:52.
We got to get Harvey on the phone.
Uh-oh.
Why?
Because all kinds of things going down in Britneyville.
Mm.
Her parents and friends have apparently shown up for an intervention at her home.
Oh.
This happened yesterday. In the middle of the intervention, Sam Lufty, her manager slash friend slash leech, pulled her out and took her to a Mercedes-Benz dealership to buy a new car.
What?
Cheesing off the family that apparently was trying to intervene, hence the name Intervention.
Oh, what, did they think he was healthy for her all this time?
Well, here's the thing. The story goes on TMZ, and Sam Lufty picks up his phone and calls our pal Harvey Levin.
Yeah.
Oh.
With Brittany sitting next to him while he's on the phone with Harvey.
Okay.
Saying that the story was apparently that Brittany's family thinks Sam Lufty is poison to his daughter. I can't imagine why they would think that.
What a surprise.
But Lufty says there was no intervention last night. Brittany's family just barged in.
Well, that's what an intervention is.
Yeah. For the record, Harvey is saying the family did stage intervention, and Lufty was just kept in the dark. They didn't let him know they were coming because they think he's bad news.
Yeah.
He says, Lufty, this is, about the family. They have an agenda. Their agenda is jealousy because they don't fit in. I do. They see her 3 times a year. Then Harvey asked Lufty if he indeed forced Brittany to go buy a new car, and he turned to Brittany and said, did I force you to buy a car? And she said, no. Well, which he continued, do I ever bug you? And she goes, we argue. Yeah.
God.
Apparently, both members of the eldest members of the Britney Spears family, Britney's mom, Lynn, and dad, Jamie, are on the same page, feeling that Sam is a megalomaniac who is motivated by, in their words, evil.
What's up with that?
He's an evil genius.
Where's Paparazzo, dude? How did Sam Lufty get back to the forefront?
He's always been. Then Adnan.
Adnan, I thought you broke up with her, no?
Dude, bro, dude.
Right.
Adnan was squeezed out by Sam.
He locked him out the
locked
other
him
day.
Out of the complex when Brittany called him after they had a big fight to come pick her up.
Physically locked him out.
And then turned off all her 6 cell phones. So Adnan said he was calling and calling, but she never picked up, and he found out, hence, that Sam had turned off her 6 cells.
What happened, dude?
Dude, Helio Sidekick, T-Mobile.
You sold those all to her, didn't you?
You know what I mean?
You sold her all 6 of those cell phones,
Armenian flag wallet chain.
Yeah. And the rug Brittany. She has in her living room. You sold her that.
Yeah. Yeah. Brittany will be back when she needs a refi.
You refied her mansion,
TV.
Right?
Refi. It's the Lexus seat cover.
Right.
Hummus bucket.
Okay. A bucket of hummus?
Really?
I didn't know it was served in buckets.
Yeah, hair product, bro.
Sure, hair products.
Bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
Bucket of hummus, by the way, playing Coachella.
Congratulations to Gwen Stefani. People Magazine has found out that she is expecting a 2nd child with husband Gavin Rosdale.
Ooh.
She looks fine. She'll be fine this time.
That's not the point.
In fact, this she is looks
why
amazing.
You don't put this is why you don't put girls in your band, Lisa, because you sit around year after year waiting for them to squeeze
right.
out puppies.
And they say, "Okay, no doubt's getting back together. We're going to go. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to have another baby."
Yeah. Exactly.
I guess I'll just do that instead of playing with you guys.
Guys, just let me do 1 solo album. I promise I'll be right back. You know what? Actually, let's make it 2. Okay, now I'm going to have another kid. The guys in No Doubt are going to die waiting for her to return, Lisa. You don't care.
Yeah.
I
nice,
don't think
Lisa.
Her doing
no,
her solo
nice.
Work
way to go,
had,
Lisa.
Her,
nice.
Had to do with her being a female. It was just
any other bands you
want to
break up?
Made.
Yeah. Nice, Lisa. Whatever you say.
Now I've broken them up.
Jeez. Well, way apparently, go, you're all in favor of it. You're all in favor of it, apparently.
I don't know. Did you impregnate her?
Yes.
That'd be
yes,
cool.
Yes, I did.
All right.
Turkey baster.
Hear it here first.
And here's the thing, too. Gwen Stefani does look great after having her first child.
Yeah.
Yes.
But when you're playing Russian roulette.
It's not risk it.
And you put the gun to your head and it goes click and there's an empty chamber. You don't spin that chamber again and take your second chance.
That's right.
Because you know what happens?
What?
I've seen Deer Hunter.
That's
boom!
Right.
Boom. Yeah.
That's right.
Next thing.
The guys in No Doubt, from what I understand, have laid down musical tracks. They just need a singer. They just need someone to come in and sing. Where is she? Off raising kids. God damn it.
What's
up with that?
You know who they should hire? They need a singer.
Who?
Sammy Hagar?
Sean Young, the actress.
Oh, she's so crazy.
She's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's the crazy one? Yeah.
Yes.
This week at the Directors Guild of America Awards, she was hammered and started to heckle Julian Schnabel. Who won the Best Director Award for the Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
How could you heckle that guy?
He was up on stage giving a speech, and apparently he was taking his time, and she started screaming at him to get on with it.
She's just speaking for all of us, I think.
Get on with it!
How
Let's
was she
move
even
on!
There?
She's a pseudo-celebrity. I mean, she's an actress. She's been in Blade Runner. And
Didn't she mostly live in New Mexico or something, which is why we don't get to hear more from her crazy
more craziness.
Well, here's the thing. Security had to escort her out.
Yes!
Good times.
She finished the night by throwing a punch at the guards.
Okay. I wish she'd move back.
Omar.
It has been announced today that she has voluntarily checked herself into rehab.
Oh, really?
In the wake of the embarrassing outburst. And she wonders why her career isn't going.
This is a mess.
Wow.
Apparently, she was also yelling at Marion Cotillard, the star of La Vie en Rose, who was just smoking hot, and it's unacceptable for Sean Young to yell at her.
You missed that, Kevin. Ralph is now out on board with that star in that movie.
I haven't heard a word about that.
I haven't either, but I watched the SAG Awards on Sunday night, and Marion Cotillard was there, and hamana, the words of Ralph Crampton.
She's outstanding.
Yeah, she's a stunning young lady with a really sexy French accent. So.
All right, she's all with me.
She's all with me. Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan. What's that sound I hear? Hold on a second. Oh, it's Lindsay falling off the wagon again.
Oh, no.
New York Post is reporting that she was out on town Friday night with Stavros Niarchos.
Oh, he's always good.
And Brody Jenner. And she was spotted downing Grey Goose from the bottle.
That's how you drink it, isn't it?
I don't know
don't
much
you drink
about
it
rehab.
From the bottle?
I'm no expert. But I don't think that's on. That's not one of the 12 steps.
13.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. See, apparently, one of her friends says she's in the process of staying sober, but occasionally she likes a cocktail.
Okay.
As long as it's only occasionally, I think that's fine. With
that's what I'm saying.
The 12-step people, right?
Congratulations to our buddy Craig Ferguson. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but on Monday night, he unveiled the results of his citizenship test.
Oh.
He saved them to open up on the air. Did it on his Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, and he achieved a perfect score.
Wow.
He is now an American citizen.
I couldn't get half of that, probably.
Yeah, me neither, probably.
Well, you get to study for months before it happens, you know. But congratulations to Craig. Now that you're an American, welcome. Let's go kick some Scottish ass. What do you say, buddy?
Yeah, that's right.
Freaking Scots.
He's lucky to become a citizen before John McCain becomes president and builds that wall, I'll tell
you. That's right. Not letting so the Scots over. NBC has given the green light to a second season of Celebrity Apprentice after the unexpected success of the show this year. It looks like it's breathed new life into the Apprentice franchise. The show will begin running next January. No word yet on who the contestants will be. I hate to admit it. I thought the show was weak to start, but now I'm kind of hooked on the Celebrity Apprentice. I'm watching every week,
I liked it at the beginning. I haven't had much time, but I was in.
Yeah.
But what kind of celebrities are they going to get next time?
Yeah,
I mean,
this
really
is the first batch that, you know, was chomping at the bit to do this show. Who do you got?
Yeah.
Where do you go after Stephen Baldwin?
Sean Young.
Maybe Daniel Baldwin.
Sean Young were on that show, I'd watch every day.
Me too.
Daniel Baldwin out of Celebrity Rehab and put him in Celebrity Apprentice, and now you got a show.
Let's go from celebrity show to celebrity show.
Get Jeff Conway on there, too, while you're at it. Him
and
wheeling
Bobby
around
Brown.
Like Ironsides.
Bobby Brown is good, yes.
Let's get all drunk, drugged out celebrities.
This is a mess.
The Hoff, of course, will be a project leader. And have them all just not be able to accomplish any task because they're all just drinking in the boardroom.
I like it.
Donald comes in, they're all naked and drunk and doing blow up the boardroom. Ivanka's bent over. It's good time.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay will be there. Good times. Good news for horror movie fans. New Line Cinema has announced there will be yet another Freddy Krueger movie.
What's up with that?
Wow.
How many have there been?
108.
Paul. 108. Seems like a lot.
A Nightmare on Elm Street kicked off in 1984. And Daily Variety is reporting that the franchise will be given a complete overhaul, much like they recently did with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where they sort of re-envision it and bring a new director and start the story all over again.
Right.
So Robert Englund, who has made a career out of Freddy, will not be playing Freddy, although there's no word on who will be the new Freddy.
Well, he passed in the late 80s, so
they've
got to find someone else.
He's still alive, by the way. Here's the thing. You can reinvent Texas Chainsaw Massacre because Leatherface is just a guy with a hood and a chainsaw, you know? But how do you reinvent the Freddy character, which is so iconic with the striped sweater and the glove with the blades on it and the fedora hat and everything? It'd be hard-pressed to come up with a better visual image, I think, than that dude.
Yeah.
He is horror movies for a lot of people. Today's celebrity birthdays, Wilmer Valderrama, who played the popular Pez on that 70s show. He is 28 years old today. Phil Collins. Musician.
Yeah.
That's way too much excitement for Phil Collins.
He member of Genesis?
Rips.
Okay.
He hardly rips.
Dude.
He rips Susu as a drummer Studio. Or as a singer?
That's what I'm saying.
Susu Studio is a genius song.
You're high.
No, but genius meaning funny bad.
I mean horrible.
Okay.
Susu Studio. At some point, Genesis Phil Collins just stopped writing lyrics and just said, any sounds? Susu Studio. Yeah, that's good. Put that in. How about the song called Abacab? What's that? It's the progression of the chords of the song.
This is a mess.
A-B-A-C-A-B. Abacab. Shut up. Yeah. Write a lyric.
I agree. Shut up, Phil Collins.
Vice President Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney celebrates his 67th birthday today.
You know he's going to have a good, fun day.
His heart is 400 years old.
I watched the State of the Union address, and he is – Dick Cheney, of course, sits behind the president along with the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. And he was – did you see it, Lisa?
No, I didn't.
The sour face on that guy. He's miserable every second of every day, no matter what he's doing.
No.
He's just sitting up there just scowling.
The heck you say? Dick is scowling?
This is his man who's giving the speech.
I find him giddy usually. Usually he's happy and go lucky.
He's Coach Belichick. That's who he is.
He is.
He is Belichick on a bad day with a hangover. That's what he is. Christian Bale, actor who played, most recently 3:10 to Yuma at stars as Batman in Batman Begins in the upcoming Dark Knight, 34 years old today. And Gene Hackman, one of my favorite actors of all time, is 78 years old today. The two-time Oscar winner didn't become an actor until he was 30 years old, by the way.
Really?
What a career.
He's had 700 movies.
He's incredible. The guy never stops working and is always good in everything. So happy birthday to Gene Hackman. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have a rule on this program, and that rule is that if you find something embarrassing about yourself, you need to share it with everyone so they can mock you and beat you with it.
Absolutely.
This is stretching the rule, though, just a bit.
There's a new rule on this show, by the way.
What's that?
You suck.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a new rule. Oh. That's not new at all. It's kind of like in politics, if you're running for office and you've got a skeleton in the closet, you'd best just have a press conference and admit the affair or admit the embezzlement because somebody's going to find out about it and it's going to be worse for you.
There's one thing to have a skeleton in your closet. There's another thing to have a rotting, smelly, festering corpse in your closet.
Oh, yeah. Ralph.
I'd like to say in our defense, before we move on, that Beat and I had never done a morning show before, and we thought we would be good at it.
Then you don't deserve this job,
I know that. We told them that 100 times when they hired us here. We haven't done this. You know that, right? And they said, yes, we do.
And we have nothing to lose because our ratings are so low already.
That's what they
said. That's true, because Richard Blade had driven everyone away from the radio station. So they hired us, and this was back in the first Bush administration. So this is before you, Ralph, before Psycho Mike. I think Psycho Mike was a toddler when this tape we're about to play was made. Before Lisa May, before Lightning, before the people you think have been on the Kevin and Bean Show forever. This was actually before them that this happened.
The year was 1939. Hitler was starting to rise in Europe, giving a lot of people concerns. Britain was getting ready for a world war. America was still staying out of it. And a young team of radio artists named Kevin and Bean took to the airwaves.
I think it was 29.
Oh.
Yeah.
There is so much tape available.
Well, Bean found a tape
of this first week of your shows.
Bean found a tape of us from our first week.
But you can't imagine the difficulty I had trying to pare it down to just several segments to play. So I'll have to split it up into two different breaks today. We'll do one now and do another one in a couple hours.
Oh, I don't think we need that.
And even then, I wish I could play in its entirety the hilarious General Noriega Panama bit.
What?
Where it is the entire song of Van Halen's Panama with someone that you know doing a horrible George Bush the first impression.
Right. Mm.
And you guys calling, of course, Panama, because all you did in the first week of your career was make phone calls. That's all you did.
Hey, I told you, we weren't good.
Made horrible phone calls. And people, you think the phone calls that you hear now are horrible, when they call foreign countries and no one picks up and they got nothing to say?
It's always magic.
You have no idea how blessed you are not to have heard the first week. Because they call Panama and say, hey, we'll trade Lionel Richie for General Noriega.
What?
And I don't remember who General...
And someone doesn't understand what they're saying. And then Kevin says, we've got the Smothers Brothers. You can have Tom and Dick if you give us General Noriega.
Smothers Brothers?
Yes! That was your hilarious comedy reference.
Wow.
Ralph, why did we want Manuel Noriega? What was the deal with that? He was a dictator that we were trying to bring to America to try for war crimes or something?
And they eventually did.
Okay.
And, see, Ralph, what would they have been without our help?
And that was the bit. It was the Panama song with George Bush saying,
wow.
Wouldn't be prudent not to thank Kevin and Bean for having traded Lionel Richie for General Noriega. And
oh
it went on.
God.
It's like 13 minutes long, and I couldn't even cut it down enough to give it justice.
Really?
You have to take my word on it. But here's some shorter segments that I can actually broadcast. To give you a demonstration of how horrible Kevin and
this
Bean
ran people away in 1990. Why would we want to replay it?
Because people need to know.
All right.
People need people who have listened to the show for years, who look up to you for some reason, and say, oh, I love that show. Those guys are good. No, you're wrong. You're being fooled, people. It's all an illusion.
People who listen a lot know, Ralph. They don't need to be told this.
Apparently, back in the 40s when you guys first started, there was a commercial on local television for the School of Broadcasting, the California School of Broadcasting,
okay,
which gave you six reasons why you should get into broadcasting. And it was supposed to be a funny commercial where somebody says, oh, I've always had a great voice, and I hate my job, and I love music. I really hate my dumb job. And it was like three of the six reasons were that you hate your current job, so you should come to this school.
Right.
Well, you guys thought that was just rife with comic possibilities.
Do you remember this at all, Bean?
I remember the commercial.
They play the commercial in the beginning so you can have some reference, and then please enjoy, and I'm going to play it in its entirety, the hilarious phone call Kevin and Bean make to the California School of Broadcasting. And, oh, I'm telling you, if you've got sides, hold on to them, because they'll be splitting.
Six good reasons to start your career in broadcasting. Number one.
Just because I love music.
Two.
Bored with my job.
Three.
Friends have always told me what a terrific voice I have.
Four.
Bored with my job.
Five.
I could do better than that.
Six.
I really hate my dumb job.
Don't know how to get started in radio and TV? Call Los Angeles Broadcasters.
Good morning, Los Angeles Broadcasters.
Hey, good morning. This is Kevin and Bean on KROQ Radio. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
We've been hearing your commercial a lot lately. We were wondering if you could give us some tips. You know, because I love music, and I'm bored with my job. Friends always told me what a terrific voice I have, and I'm kind of bored with my job. You know, I know I could do much better, and I really hate my dumb job. Those are some of the six good reasons we've heard to call L.A. Broadcasters.
All right, fine. Are we on the radio?
And we were kind of curious why three of those good reasons are the same.
Well, hold on and listen to this, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
He's giving us a recording. Hold on, listen to this. Playing the darn sting.
This was on the air, by the way.
This is, we heard this?
Yes.
How do you know?
You there?
Yeah, we're here.
All right, let me have someone call you back. They can't take the call this time.
Can we give you a phone number?
Go ahead.
All right, the phone number is 520-520-1067.
1067. What area code?
And you want to ask for Kevin and Bean, 213. Thanks for your help.
And what radio station?
KROQ.
K-Rock.
That was on the air. That was the hilarious comedy
you
phone
edited
call.
That.
I left it pure and untouched.
Ralph, it doesn't sound that much different than a bit we could have done yesterday, though.
That's
we
what I'm
them.
Saying.
Hang on, let me make a note.
That's what I'm saying.
California School of Broadcasting.
You know what's funny? When
it's
you
a
made
bad
that call,
idea with no payoff,
I was at that
least.
School.
What?
I wish you had answered, Lisa. It might have been entertaining.
You were going to that school?
I went to that school.
Wow.
I know that when that was over, they went into commercial and they high-fived it. Yes! Dude, that was hilarious. We so burned them. Because we said what they say in their commercial back to them and we left a message and they're going to call us back. That's funny. That they're going to call us back.
And did you think when they called you back, you'd have more funny stuff to do?
Oh,
I
don't remember. Wait till they call back.
I don't remember this.
We'll tape it and we can play part two.
I hope they do it before the show ends.
Of the hilarious call of Los Angeles Broadcasting School.
I think we're still waiting for that call.
Not
sure.
Horrible. Yeah.
I don't think, by the way, and you guys will have to tell me if I'm wrong, that I sound that much different than I do now, but Kevin even slurred more back then than he does now.
I'm quite slurish, if that's a
did
word.
Did you notice that?
I didn't notice. He sounded like he had, you know, still had some sort of sense of life about him, like before you killed it, Bean, before you beat him down in submission. Like he still had the youthful, you know, exuberance. He still had hope, I think, is what I'm trying to say. We only have time for another quick segment. I'll have more later in the show. But it's the first week Kevin and Bean are on the air, and whoever this broad is who's working with them, it was sort of, I guess, your producer
Laura
at
Brown.
The time.
Oh, Laura Brown,
yes.
Yeah.
Laura, that's right.
Lets you know that a big show in the morning is Ken and Bob.
Oh, my God.
At KABC.
Okay.
Ken
okay.
and Bob. They were apparently the high rollers in morning radio at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
So you say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to call them, and we're going to get tips on how to be big in
we're
Los
still
Angeles.
Doing the same bit?
So, same bit. Now you're making another call, this time to Ken and Bob, to get their ideas. And I can tell this was pre-recorded, and yet when it was all over, you said, yes, get this on the air as quickly as possible. Please enjoy Kevin and Bean's call to Ken and Bob at KABC.
Do here. We're going to call and find out what we're supposed to be doing because really, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know.
It's obvious.
Thank you very much. We have no show. We're going to be honest about this. So we thought we'd call some seasoned professionals. And Laura was telling us that Ken and Bob, apparently real big in this town. Is that right?
And our major competitor.
Ken and Bob over
right.
KABC.
Ken and Bob, right, yeah.
ABC. That's a news station.
They're hot. Yeah.
Well, we're thinking to ourselves what we should do is call them and just find out, like, maybe we can get a scoop on what they're doing this morning. And then we can just jump right in. And before they get a chance to do it, we'll beat them right to it.
You know, do we need to play weather? Do we need to play music? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So take phone calls? What do we do? That's the question.
And more importantly, do they answer their phone calls?
We set up stuff for 2 days back then still. Why do we keep setting it up? Like, no one understands it yet. Come on.
It's horrible.
Do you think this was pre-recorded, but they let it ring 10 times?
Lisa, you haven't heard it. Please listen.
That's it, though, right?
That's it?
Oh, no.
This may take a while. It may be a few months until you guys know what to do by the time they answer the phone.
Casual.
We got nothing but time.
Nothing but time.
We have years for the ratings to go up, right?
Ken and Bob. wait on KABC. And they are.
Ken and Bob.
Not existent.
Come on, guys. We need help. Hello? Hello?
Yes. Hung up on us.
They knew it was us.
Yes.
I can't believe it. We called KABC. They picked up the phone and said, oh, my God, it's them. Well, they're still kind of jealous over this whole FM thing.
That was it.
Which is the same joke Bean made when we were talking about Bill Handel yesterday. Oh, they're jealous about that we're on FM.
I didn't say that yesterday.
You made the same goddamn joke.
Come on.
You are horrible, and you have changed not a whit.
I believe I can speak for Kevin when I say we accept your scorn.
Yeah. Wow. Well, how did we ever get this job?
I'd like you to resign.
It's only
both
fair.
Of you. It's only fair.
Thank you, Lisa. We talked to our next guest, Mr. Steve Zahn, last year for the film Rescue Donna. And I got to tell you, this trailer for Strange Wilderness makes it look even funnier, if you can believe that. Steve, welcome back to the Kevin Beach on K-Rock, my friend.
Thank you.
Good to be here. Tell us about the movie. It's a TV show based on those wilderness shows, correct?
Well, yeah, it's kind of a... my dad, I inherited, like, his, you know... his wilderness show, which is kind of in par with like Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so I have this show, and it sucks. and we're going to be canned from the network. I mean, it's offensive, and we don't understand why, but because we're idiots. But
I can tell you
unless
why.
We come up with a really good show, which my dad's old buddy knows where Bigfoot lives.
Right.
Which is in South America, not up in Washington.
Right.
And so we go after Bigfoot.
Awesome.
And that's the movie. There's no love interest, and there's no serious scenes mixed into the comedy.
Oh, come on. There's nothing for us to hate.
It's a completely insane movie.
This is a clip from when you're talking apparently off the top of your head about bears.
Yeah, we wrote it last night at PJ Mahoney's.
Bears are large and brown. Come on, not all bears are large. What about baby bears? Bears derive their name from a football team in Chicago.
No.
It's the other way around. It is estimated that bears kill over 2 million salmon a year. Attacks by salmon on bears are much more rare. All right, that's got to be true, right? All right, let's go with that one.
Sounds like your support staff isn't quite helping there, Steve.
Yeah.
That Justin Long and Jonah Hill, right?
Yeah, these guys are hysterical.
This cast is really fascinating. Justin Long, Jonah Hill, Jeff Garlin, Robert Patrick, and Damn. You.
Ernest Borgnine.
Ernest Borgnine.
How did that happen?
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah, I don't know. It was the strangest thing. I mean, coming up... Well, I had the movie I did before was Rescue Dom, which was, you know, this intense movie in the jungle with Christian Bale and Werner Herzog. And then I go... into this right after it, and I'm with Jonah Hill and Ernest Borgnine chasing Bigfoot. And I thought, man, this is crazy.
Now, do you watch those shows, or did you have to start discovering what the hell they were?
What,
Crocodile Hunter and all that stuff.
Oh, no, I grew up watching those. The animal shows?
Yeah.
No, and they were always funny to me, like the Disney, like, you know, and they had, like, the orchestrated, you know, the you know, with the raccoon and the voiceovers, like...
Here's Timmy. Timmy's getting in trouble. You know, like this weird kind of familiar, you know, the animals are taught. The old shows are great. And we had old footage. And they had bought all this footage before we even, you know, shot. And so during the movie, you see our segments, which is strange to me. Like you'll be watching the movie and then all of a sudden out of nowhere is our 3-minute segment on seals.
Right.
That's awesome.
It's black and white footage. And it's hysterical. When I read it, I was laughing so hard thinking, I was in Vietnam reading this script going, and then I laughed so hard and they were like, yeah, they want you to do this. And I sat down after I read it and I was like, man, am I laughing because I'm just in Vietnam?
Right. You're dehydrated.
Yeah. Like, and I
hungry.
And so I read it again. I was like, no, dude, I have to do this. It's too funny.
It looks hysterical.
Do you have any scenes, Steve, that might have been interesting or funny or even dangerous with actual wildlife?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, because we didn't do anything with animals.
Oh, good.
Because it's all this footage, you know what
That's
I mean?
How bad the show is. You don't actually see a live animal.
Sucks. Our show sucks. We actually, part of our, you know, one of our segments is a guy burning. Like, I mean,
what?
And Jeff Garland's our producer. He's like, what? What is this? Why did you do this? And we give these, you know, asinine reasons why we have this on our show. Like, there's a guy getting mauled by a bear, and he asks us why, and I say, well, I don't even know if this is in the movie, but I go, well, we just didn't want people to, you know, think that, like, bears, like Boo Boo and Yogi, they're nice.
They're not friendly.
So you're trying to save the world is what you're doing with this show.
Exactly.
You can't, but you're trying.
No, we're just stoned and drunk.
What kind of writer would not try to throw everything in? Like, most writers would say, okay, like you were saying earlier, we need some kind of a love interest, and we got to have some special effects.
Everyone has to learn an important lesson at the end.
Yeah.
No, that's what I loved about these guys. I mean, it was clearly from day one, which these are hard movies to make, by the way. And every day the intent was just to make it as insanely funny and crazy as possible. And, I mean, so much of the time you get bogged down. I mean, go see a comedy. I hate it when, you know, it goes into the whole, like, oh, the friends are fighting and now they're going to do the scene that's not funny.
Right.
Completely straight. And it's like, yeah, whatever. Come on.
To drive it home. Yeah.
Exactly.
But also, when you do a comedy like this, there is a fine line you have to walk so it doesn't end up just being dumb and stupid and you're not.
Exactly. And this has every. I mean, you just look at the description for this and you go, this is insanely stupid. But it's not. And
See?
That's the fine line. We don't think we're stupid, and that's the main thing. You have to play it straight, and if you play it straight, it's truly funny. If you play it like, you know,
we're wacky.
It's obvious one-on-one acting, but it's like you see it so much of the time where people are, you know.
We heard it in the last. We heard it in the last 10 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's right.
We need to learn that lesson.
All I know is I see the words Ernest and Borgnine on a movie poster, and I realize I have to be there. But you throw in the Jonah Hill and the Jeff Garland and the Robert Patrick and the Justin Long and, of course, our guest Steve Zahn. And you got to go see Strange Wilderness opening everywhere this Friday, February 1st. Steve, we always love catching up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, man.
Right on. Thanks a lot, guys.
You know, it's hard to think about, you know, spring and summer vacations here in the dead of winter. But if you have some time this year, may we suggest to you that you take a little plane flight from the German town of Erfurt to the popular Baltic Sea resort of Usedom. The reason you might want to take that plane ride is because you can fly in the nude. This is a true story, folks, and we have, I believe, a representative from the German airline or travel agency on the phone with us right now. Good morning. Kevin and Bean, Sean K-Rock here.
Guten Tag.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you today?
Good. We saw in the news here in America, your flight, people are allowed to take their clothes off. It's a nudist flight.
Yeah, they're not only allowed to take clothes off, but it's a mandatory nude flight.
Mandatory?
Oh.
Yeah.
How about that? So that you don't offend other people at the airport, you're dressed as you leave the concourse and get onto the plane, and you have to be dressed by the time the plane lands and you get off, but in between, you take your clothes off.
Yeah, 55 passengers, and they are clothed, as you said, in the airport, and then they must dress again before they leave the plane, but in the flight they will be totally nude.
Okay. Now, what's the draw for people? Why is it flying naked, why is that a thrill or exciting or something somebody would want to do?
This is for the culture in Germany, known as the FKK,
The what?
The FKK.
FKK.
Translated, it means the free body culture, the nudism, naturalism.
Okay.
Okay.
And they, there are hotels where you can go with this culture. There's also shopping and restaurants. And they prefer to travel in the nude, and so we give them the option of doing that.
Do people go to a restaurant naked, really, and they eat?
Yeah,
they
yeah,
order.
Oh. Yeah,
they don't
eat.
Order hot soup, though.
Ooh.
Ah,
see?
Now, no, they don't. We are doing the hot soup.
Now, I was on a flight yesterday, and I got to be honest.
We're nude.
I don't think I want to see anyone that was on my flight yesterday nude.
Well, it's not sexual.
It isn't.
No, this is nudism is a free body culture. It's to be natural. It's not for being sexual. So okay, when we're on the plane, it's not everyone looking. Oh, look at you know my giant brush button. It's more just everyone being communing with nature.
I see.
Right, and this is what they say in our country with the few nudist colonies that we have, is you go there not to have sex, not even to check out the naked people. But I can't imagine that naturally you don't still, you know, see what's happening in the seat next to you. You got to be doing that.
That is so much the Western way of thinking. Mm-hmm. We're not that way. The nudity here at all, it's, sex and nudity are completely different.
Right, but if you have a super hot smoking chick that's topless, people aren't checking her out?
Well,
really?
Well, she when she's dressed to us, she's more attractive than when she's nude. Because that's a bit, oh, boy, I'd like to see her with some clothes on. You know, it's like the reverse for us. We're more attracted by the clothing.
Find that hard to believe.
Huh. Now, do you serve hot soup on your flight?
Hey, I have a question. Is
you'll find on a flight, it's in German, it's a first class service on the flight. So when you get in there, you get a cup of warm nuts.
Right.
And then we give you something to eat after that.
Right.
And there's hot towel service, especially for the women.
Sure.
They invited to sit on the hot towels.
Yeah.
To avoid the Gewürze Heinz demeanor.
Well, I don't know what that is, but I can guess.
It's, how do you translate for American, snail trail.
Oh, that's what we were afraid of.
These are leather seats, and I don't want to be scrubbing that out of there.
Oh, my God.
Do they serve alcohol?
Oh, yeah, there's alcohol served.
Mm.
You have to, you see some of these fat people, you have to be drunk. In order to lose your mind.
Sure.
That's what, that's
but
what
we don't have tray tables, unfortunately.
No tray tables.
No, because if you if that slams down, you could break your Gewünschte Niner.
And that would be painful.
It's horrible. We had one man who broke his Gewünschte Niner right in half.
Oh, man.
Oh,
and then
ouch.
He had to have a splint put on it.
I didn't know they had splints for those.
They do. It's varying sizes. I use a hockey stick.
Sure you do.
Now, and we ask them to turn off all the electronic devices, of course, when we're in the air.
Sure.
So you can't get a vibrator and put on your schnicknagable.
I don't recognize that word.
You know, with the hoochie-coochie.
Oh, hoochie-coochie. Okay. Yeah, certainly. Okay.
And all hot soup. Ah! Funny American woman.
The exciting story of David Hasselhoff and his wife in court fighting over who gets to keep the golf cart coming up on the 7 o'clock hour here this morning. Plus, we'll talk to actor John Cryer from Two and a Half Men about his beloved New York Giants. Didn't you have a football bet with him 1 year, Ralph, that he lost with the Giants?
Jason Biggs. Very different actor.
Oh, it was.
Very
That's right.
different.
Yeah.
How did you not bet with him then if he was such a big Giants fan?
Because no one knew he was a big Giants fan until they got to the Super Bowl. Now all of a sudden he's the world's biggest Giants fan.
Well, we'll have to talk to
Jason
him about that.
Biggs had the balls to be a Giants fan when they were in the basement of the NFC East losing. He was like, I'm still a diehard Giants fan. And that's when the Eagles were ruling the East and he came in to promote something.
I
said, well, I'll bet you that we have a better record than you this season. And he took his lumps like a man.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now front runner John Cryer is all over the Giants. Ooh, who knew? Who knew?
All right, we'll see what Ducky's up to coming after 7. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning, 6:54.
Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes is recovering from triple heart bypass surgery. CBS broke the word yesterday saying the operation was performed last week, and doctors in the operating room said, "Are you serious? This guy wants to live longer." He turns 90, by the way, this spring.
Does he really?
90.
You see him on the show, though, Ralph. He's still very sharp and very effective as a journalist and a broadcaster. I'm just saying there's no reason to put him down just because he's 90. He still is a contributing member of society.
I'm just saying, at what point do you stop railing against that sweet release? You know, at 90, really?
Let it go.
I'm going to get my bypass surgery. No, you're not. Just lay down. Just lay down,
Ralph,
Mike.
Ralph is the king of Puppy Lake. I mean, if somebody stubs a toe, man, he's ready to put him down these days.
Well, there are too many people. I mean...
Thank you.
That's true.
Thank you. Sean Young has checked into rehab in the wake of an embarrassing outburst at the Directors Guild of America Awards last weekend. You may remember Sean Young from Stripes or Blade Runner or No Way Out with Kevin Costner. She was a sexy broad in her day. Apparently now she likes to knock him back. The winner for Best Director at the Directors Guild of America Awards, Julian Schnabel, took the stage to accept his award for The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, and apparently he had a hard time collecting his thoughts for his acceptance speech and started to ramble a little bit, and that's when drunk Sean started yelling out, "Get on with it!
Oh.
Move on!"
Can't we put her front and center at every award show?
Then apparently she got up, put on her fur, and started just walking around the award ceremony in the middle of his speech.
Oh. That would make him interesting. I would watch them.
He said, "Why don't you have another cocktail?" And she said something back to him, and he walked off the stage.
Great.
And the crowd said, "No, come back, finish your speech." And security showed up and escorted Ms. Young out of the facility.
That's needed.
Why play him off in an orchestra when you could have
her?
She
finished her night by throwing a punch at the guards.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
That's awesome. You know, it's funny because I read that interview with her big comeback interview in Entertainment Weekly last year, where she was talking about how she just needs a break. She just needs somebody to give her work. She's here and healthy and ready to go. And this is maybe not the way to get hired.
Maybe
she famously made her own Catwoman costume,
right,
and tried to break into Warner Brothers Studios to meet
right
with Tim Burton as he was casting Batman Forever, or whatever the second one was, Batman.
That didn't go well. She didn't play it.
Once more.
Who played it?
Alicia Silverstone.
No. Pfeiffer.
Halle Berry, wasn't it?
Oh,
Michelle
please.
Pfeiffer.
What's wrong with you people? Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, that's right. That's
the Fife.
That's right. The Fife.
The Fife did it. The thing was, she was casting the original Batman as Vicki Vale.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then broke her collarbone after falling off a horse. So they had to recast the role with Kim Basinger.
Mm.
And she never got over that blow, quite frankly. Mm. So.
And then didn't she, after being escorted off the premises... Then, like, went on, I think it was the Joan Rivers show, or one of the talk shows in a Catwoman suit.
Yes.
Campaigning
for the role.
Yeah, to say, "Listen to me, Mr. Burton."
Dude.
Wow.
As Catwoman. Like, bonkers.
I don't know if you remember, she was famously hooked up with James Woods.
Oh,
romantically.
Yes.
And he had to get a restraining order against her and said she was leaving mutilated baby dolls on his front step with, like,
oh,
knives
no
in them and stuff.
And he's crazy.
And he's crazy. Imagine those two together.
Wow.
They did a movie called The Boost together about a cocaine-addicted couple, and apparently they fell in love on the set, and then she went insane.
Wow.
So
creepy.
Quite the colorful past, that Sean Young.
Okay.
And I'm glad to see she's getting some help, but I hope she keeps drinking. Speaking of getting help and then continuing to drink,
continuing to drink,
Lindsay Lohan
has
taken another flying leap off the wagon. According to the New York Post, she was partying Friday night with Stavros Niarchos,
Lindsay Lohan,
Brody Jenner, and an entourage of other dim-witted people, and she started downing Grey Goose vodka straight out of the bottle, according to the newspaper. Good times.
When a glass isn't enough for you,
Kevin,
you might have a little problem.
Kevin.
They came to party, and they were disappointed.
Congratulations to Tyra Banks. She's got another TV show.
What? Are you kidding me?
Getting yet another fashion-based reality show on the CW. It's going to be like Trump's show, The Apprentice, only it's going to do with a fashion magazine. It's going to be like The Devil Wears Prada, where assistants will fight to become an assistant editor working for a horrible, uptight female editor.
Oh, good.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
Big fat whore.
That's the theme song for the show. Back to you.
Nothing Tyra Banks is dealing with can't be solved with one of those Rambo 50 caliber bullets to the forehead, I think.
Well, a couple to her forehead.
Just
mist and head and just shoulders left. That's all you got.
Mist and head.
Yeah, it's going to be the same night as America's Top Model. So she's going to have those back to back. It'll be a whole block of Tyra shows.
That's too much.
It's way too much, Tyra. By the way, great thing on American Idol last night. One of the contestants coming down with their golden ticket going to Hollywood said, yes, I knew if I had a chance, I could prove that I'm going to be the next America's Top Model. No, Idol.
Fused maybe what reality show
they were auditioning for.
That's
apparently
awesome.
In the moment. It was pretty spectacular. And the Beatles have finally received their apology from Israel.
What?
Back in 1965, the Beatles were booked to play a concert in Israel.
Yeah.
But the government of that nation refused to grant them the necessary permits because they were afraid the band's music would corrupt the Israeli young people.
You said in 1965.
Yes.
So well, they apologized that year?
No. Israel is now apologizing
now
to the Beatles for having snubbed them in 1965.
Does our government not have anything to do?
In fact, they've invited the Beatles to come perform there this year to celebrate the country's 60th anniversary.
Well, that is
have
timely.
They not heard the bad news?
Well, apparently they have. They only offered invitations to Sir Paul and to Ringo. A little too late, Jews.
It's not really the Beatles.
That's what Ringo said.
When did the rest of us get our apology from Israel, by the way?
What'd they do to you?
I'm just saying.
That doesn't even make any sense.
You're just saying what?
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, there are a lot of people who think that America spends too much time, too much effort, too much money at the detriment to our reputation around the rest of the world by being so protective of Israel.
Well, that's apparently you're one of them,
wow.
Dr. Anti-Semite. No,
just bringing it up, that's all.
Yeah,
just
seems out like of nowhere.
Well, we were talking about apologies from the Israeli government. That's all.
Right.
I'm just saying, it seems like we spend an inordinate amount of our foreign policy time on that tiny little country. Is
you
all
got
I'm
it,
suggesting.
Bean Himmler.
I'm just saying, it's a big world,
yeah.
Is all I'm suggesting.
Sieg Heil is what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
All right.
I think we're doing the right thing. I know not everyone agrees,
well,
but...
Well, apparently not Dr. Palestine up there. He's not feeling that way.
Force it into the showbiz beat.
Yeah.
Take some calls if you hate the Jews.
Jesus, Bean.
I don't hate the Jews.
Hey, Malibu Dan, you hate the Jews?
Yes, I do, Sam.
Let's open the phone lines.
First of all, I'm married to a Jew, first of all. And
oh,
second
that's
of
the
all,
problem.
That, first of all, that's punishment enough to the Jewish people, I think.
Yeah,
you've
no
already
kidding.
Done your damage.
Second of all, I feel better, though, that the president Monday night said that this is the year that the Palestinians and the Israelis are going to live side by side in peace forever.
That's not what you want. You want them wiped off
the planet.
Of
course that's what I want. That's what I want. I want
Ahmadinejad.
I want a little less America and a little more maybe Israel taking care of their own business. That's all I'm suggesting.
Oh. Wow.
What? That's not...
Bean's a hater.
That's not that
Bean hates the Jews.
He's a
I don't eat the
guys.
Jews at all.
I guess they don't
I believe I'm being
own,
misinterpreted.
They don't deserve their own state, is what you're saying.
No, they absolutely deserve their own state.
Oh, should
certainly
they have that?
Certainly they do.
Oh, okay. So we shouldn't help them hold on to it then. This is interesting. Maybe we get somebody from the JDL on tomorrow. I would like Bean to support this position with someone from the Jewish Defense.
I'm just
agency.
Saying that most of what American foreign policy seems to be is for the benefit of the Israelis rather than for the benefit of the United States in many cases.
Well,
that's all I'm
that'll
suggesting.
All change when the master race comes back, Bean. Don't you worry
I don't
about
want that either,
it.
By the way.
Okay.
That's not what I'm saying.
All right, goose step mama.
He's today's, goose step mama.
He's goose step mama. Today's
wow.
Celebrity birthdays.
Well, not even Psycho Mike is with me. Usually I get at least
not.
Count
because
on Mike's support.
Because you chilled the entire room with your anti-Semite tirade.
It wasn't anti-Semite at all. I have no problem whatsoever with the Israelis or with the Jews.
Where's
none.
My apology from Israel you opened
just,
by saying?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right. How could that be misinterpreted as anti-Semitic? My bad.
Wow.
Don't know what I was thinking.
It's finally come out.
Oh, I'm just Vanessa Redgrave in you, aren't I?
When you put it that way.
I don't know what that means.
The famous Zionist, Vanessa Redgrave, actress. Causes a lot of problems because every time she accepts an award at some of those ceremonies, she starts talking about how Palestine should get their land back. Not real popular in
I got
the community.
Expletive Jews.
All right. We don't need that Shouldn't at be. All.
Today's celebrity birthday is Wilmer Valderrama. Played the popular candy dispenser Pez on That 70 Show. He is 28 years old today. Christian Bale. Speaking of Batman, he is 34. Phil Collins.
Yeah.
I realized why Mike likes Phil Collins so much and why he's applauding
Please
all day.
Please help me understand that, because Phil Collins blows!
Because I believe Christian Bale mentions Phil Collins in the movie American Psycho. That's one of the band's artists that he likes, the character likes in that film.
But the character's
Huey
all
Lewis.
Left up.
Yes, and so is Psycho Mike.
Not
you hear a little? You want to hear a little Susudio?
Sure.
She's all I need, all of my life.
if he just says the word.
Bean never listened to that song because he thought it was Juju Judio.
Not at all.
That's why he refused to even buy the CD because he misinterpreted what the lyrics were. Vice President Dick Cheney celebrates his 67th birthday today. There's a party waiting to happen.
Oh, good times right there.
And Gene Hackman, one of my favorite actors, two-time Academy Award winner, is 78 years old today. If you've never seen a movie called The...
Gene Hackman.
Well, French Connection. Yeah, that, you got to see that. That's a no-brainer. But his performance in the Clint Eastwood Western that won the Oscar.
Unforgiven.
Yes, I was going to say Uninvited. But
or
that
Welcome
would be a bad...
to Mooseport.
Yeah, maybe I've seen Welcome to Mooseport. Ray Romano, that's the one you really need to Netflix. Yeah, Welcome to Mooseport. I'm Ralph Garman, Bean Hates Jews.
What about our little friend John Cryer, who used to be on that Two and a Half Men show on TV when it used to air? Remember that guy?
Back when TV was on?
Back when there were such things as new TV shows. John Cryer, longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean program, always happy to catch up with him, especially this week, Super Bowl week, as his beloved New York Giants take the field against the Patriots on Sunday. Good morning, John.
Hello. Hello, guys. Hello, Lisa May.
Hello, John.
What have you been, first of all, before we talk football, dude, what have you been doing with all this time off? Has it been crazy for you?
A lot of masturbating.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
All right.
I appreciate his honesty.
No, actually, unfortunately, I sold a couple of scripts about 6 years ago and consequently had to join the WGA.
Oh.
And therefore, I have been walking the line 3 days a week.
Really?
No way.
I swear to God, I have quads of iron now.
I bet you do. Now, a lot of people are suggesting that there has been some movement and that people are now becoming in this town optimistic of a settlement by Oscars. What do you think?
That would be great. The studios have done this before. You know, they put out rumors and then they're like Lucy with the football. They just yank them away.
Oh no!
So I don't get my hopes up. But you know, but it's possible. I mean, they're worried about the Oscars, so that
certainly
seems to have scared them.
John, was it halfway through December or earlier this month that you became a New York Giants fan?
I have been a New York Giants fan since 1991. So there, mister. I
haven't heard much about that, all I'm saying.
What is your – tell us about your history. Everybody – the big fans always like to brag about the games they've seen or the stuff they've bought or whatever it is. What's your history with this the New York Football Club?
I think once online I bought a hat.
Oh,
I think that's as far as it's gone.
That's good.
Okay. No, back in 1991, remember, everybody thought the Buffalo Bills were going to kick their butt. Remember the chips were down,
right?
And I remember I was working on a movie called Hot Shots way back then with Charlie Sheen,
right?
And everybody on the crew bet me that the Buffalo Bills would kick their butts, and I won that bet, if you will recall.
All right, how much money do you have on this Sunday's game?
None. But
what? What kind of a horrible fan are you?
I'm sorry?
No bets whatsoever.
I don't bet. I'm not a betting person.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Except for 1991.
You're right, exactly. Now, you watch all the games, do you?
I do.
Okay. And how are you feeling? This is a very difficult question to ask because, you know, we all have teams that we love. And, of course, you root for them. Your heart is telling you that they can win. But your head sometimes has to break in with the tough reality that you're playing the 18-0 New England Patriots. How do you really feel about the Giants' chances Sunday?
I really feel that if anybody can beat them, it's the New York Giants.
Okay, but can anyone beat them?
Yes, I believe so. Because think about it. In the regular season, the Giants lost by way more to all the other teams that they beat in the playoffs.
Okay.
I know that sounds like I'm grasping at straws. I realize that.
They have six losses?
I'm sorry?
I think they have six losses, right?
The Giants?
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. but they lost to teams they beat in the playoffs.
Okay, so you're saying they can come back and beat a team that has already beaten them.
The Patriots only beat them by 3 points.
Right. That was a great game when they played
earlier
in the season. And the Giants are hot at the right time. Of course, the Patriots have been hot all year. You know, it's just degrees of hotness with that team. They're always great. But the Giants are certainly hot at the right time. Now, what would your strategy be if you were going in there as the coach of the Giants? What do you see as the Patriots' weakness?
The Patriots' weakness... I think they have one guy who's their weakness.
Yeah, and he doesn't play.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
but pretty much the rest of the team is pretty solid.
All right, so Tom Brady, of course, season quarterback. This is going to be the fourth Super Bowl in 7 years.
Yes.
Eli Manning, seventh grade retard.
Aha.
Doesn't he look like a seventh grade retard?
That's just because of the look on his face when he blows a play. He always looks like he's about to move an extremely large bowel movement.
Maybe he does. We don't know. But we actually, if you don't mind, we have Eli on the other line.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Eli?
Hi, I'm Eli.
How are you today?
I'm Eli.
Did you know that John Cryer is a fan of yours and your team?
Cryer?
Mm-hmm. John Cryer?
That sounds like a bad job.
No, that's his name, Eli. He's a very popular actor on the show Two and a Half Men.
Oh, I love that show.
Oh, you watch it?
You do.
That kid is fat.
I knew he would love
that. That kid is fat?
Yes.
I don't think.
Super Bowl.
Yes, you're playing in the Super Bowl.
I throw the ball.
Yes, you do.
I'm one. Oh.
You're number 10.
On my shirt.
Yes.
That's right. Now, what about what Mr. Cryer was suggesting, that every time you blow a pass, you look like you have to take a poo?
No.
Why do you breathe through your mouth so much? You are a mouth breather.
I need air.
Right.
But most, to live.
Right, but most of us have a nose, and we use that.
No, that's for boogers. I'm Eli.
John, yes, any questions that you have for Eli Manning?
I just want to say, Eli, I'm a huge fan, and you're just going to whoop Tom Brady's ass.
Don't bet on it!
Okay, Eli, I haven't.
He hasn't, actually.
You won't lose money.
All right, Eli. Well, listen, good luck to you. I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk to you between now and Sunday, but good luck to you against the Patriots, and I hope you get all those commercial endorsements like your brother did.
Oh, no, we're playing the Patriots?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course you are.
How do you feel now, John?
I'm confident.
Okay. Right.
Two and a Half Men airs Monday nights at 9 on CBS. John, have a great time watching the game. Eli, have fun at the game. We'll talk to both you guys again later on K-Rock.
It's funny because we're going to lose by 2.5 touchdowns.
Oh, no.
Look, I love divorce. Divorce is awesome, and I've enjoyed several in my life, and I'm certain I have at least one more in my future.
Sure.
But one of the things that strikes you about divorce is, here's a marriage that has broken up. Here's a relationship that at one time you swore in front of friends, family, and God would last forever, and now that's gone asunder. Yet what really gets you is when the bitch tries to take your stuff. That's where you got to really draw the line.
This is the odd thing, is that David Hasselhoff is getting a divorce. His ex-wife Pamela.
Uh-huh.
Apparently they're fighting over a golf cart now.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, at some point you go, wow, that seems pretty insignificant. Buy another golf cart, a-hole. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's got nothing but money.
And she, by the way, thanks to this divorce, will have nothing but money, too. It can't be about the golf cart, whatever the cost of that cart is. And I don't know much about the history of this particular golf cart, but does it have some sort of sentimental value? Is that why?
I couldn't tell you.
Or is it just that one of them wants it, so the other one doesn't want him to have it?
I guess. You see this all the time, like the Anne Heche story. Remember when she was her estranged husband, Coley Buffoon, or whatever his name was?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, they're fighting over a footstool and a rug and a king-size bed. And they went to court, and the judge told her that because they were married, she could keep the furniture and the linens. So apparently, they're fighting over the sheets on a bed.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, in the Anne Heche situation, my understanding, Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, is that she cheated on him, so then he filed for divorce. In that case, I think...
He gets the sheets?
Let him, right.
I don't think he wants them.
But let him have the footstool. I'm sorry. If you stepped out on your man and now he's filing for divorce because of it, don't fight over the armchair, the footstool.
I agree. I guess that's true. 100%.
But let's say, for example, and we'll take some calls from the insignificant, ridiculous things that you have fought over with somebody that used to be your significant other.
Okay.
The most ridiculously small things, like this, an armchair. You know, a footstool, whatever. So she won't give it back to you, so buy another one.
That's without it.
I'm just saying, why fight it? What's the point?
The stuff that I can understand is sentimental value stuff. Every couple has some of that. But pets, I can understand having a fight over. I mean,
yeah.
I can see how two people would really not want the other one to have the dog. I can understand that. I can understand why it would be awkward to have some sort of a shared deal where you get it for half the week, I get it for the other. And one-of-a-kind items. I mean, if you're talking about a TV, that's stupid. But if you're talking about a piece of art or something like that that you can't replace, I can understand really fighting over something like that. But a golf cart, a footstool, that just seems on the petty end of a separation.
Yeah. It'd be makes no sense. That's something you can totally turn
Although,
around and buy.
Having said that, Hasselhoff had a lot of drinks, allegedly, in that golf cart. So, you know, maybe that is sentimental value. I remember this one time when I tipped it over. That was awesome. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We're going to talk about insignificant. The more insignificant, the better, the funnier. Mm-hmm. Because, really, your inability to let it go is funny. Golf cart, footstool. For God's sakes, people. Who needs a footstool? Who uses footstools in this day and age?
I don't know. That's a good question, too.
What's the point of that? Go without it. Your feet can touch the floor. You'll probably be fine. Let's begin with Ken and Torrance, and we'll have to take a break and come back with some more calls. Ken, good morning.
Hi, guys.
You fought over what?
Oh, just, you know, big, huge things. My ex-wife and I had our biggest argument over toilet paper. Basically, we had three rolls of toilet paper, and we argued for a good full day on who got the second roll of toilet paper.
Okay, you're joking. You're just calling because you think this is what we want to hear. This didn't happen.
No, no, no. No, I swear. I swear. This is bad.
But isn't a roll of toilet paper like 80 cents?
Something you can go and buy right away at the store?
I probably could have. I was an assistant manager of the apartment complex. I probably could have just gone down to the storage closet and got a
just stolen it.
Roll.
But it was then more about it was more about her not getting it, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
Do you remember now? And I know you're in a different headspace then. But why did you care so much whether she got it or not?
You know, I'm trying to remember, and it was just the fact of that we were getting divorced, we were splitting everything. And it was, I did not want her to have the toilet paper.
Okay.
All right. Well, maybe it was sentimental value. Maybe you were attached to that toilet paper, so
well,
to speak.
Well, you know, very sentimental value. I wiped my ass with it.
Okay.
All right. I don't know how we're going to go pettier than a roll of toilet paper, but that was a great call to start with, Ken. Thank you. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
We are talking about people who fight over petty, insignificant things. David Hasselhoff and his ex are fighting over a golf cart in court. It seems to me like the guy made, you may not know this, hundreds of millions of dollars on that
Baywatch. Yeah,
sure. Hundreds of millions. Buy another one.
That's right.
It would cost less to do that than to go to court and fight over it with lawyers and everything.
Ann Hayes was fighting over sheets and a footstool and ridiculous things in court. I guess he came home to his house and that stuff was missing and now he wants it back.
She didn't ask.
I think the caller that we already spoke with, and then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067, summed it up, something that we all know, but he said it. Look, it didn't matter what the thing was. I just didn't want to see her happy. And that's what it is you don't want to give an inch to the person. We're getting a bunch of emails from people who are suggesting things like frequent flyer miles. Well, something like that.
That's valuable.
I mean, that has value.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the smaller, the pettier, the better. And give us a call here at K-Rock. Why don't we start with Nami from Norwalk on line one. Nami, welcome. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, talking about the ugly breakups. What were you guys fighting over?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Well, basically, it's not as bad as the toilet paper, but we broke up, and he had took me shopping a couple times and bought me a pair of jeans and some makeup. And it was like 6 or 7 months later, and he had a log of everything that he had bought for me.
What?
And he basically wanted, like, the jeans and the makeup that was already used back.
What kind of an a-hole keeps a log of stuff he buys for you?
He seriously had a log of everything he had bought me.
Wow.
So. Yeah, that was
good thing you broke up with him.
Yeah, no
it is a good thing. It's funny because usually the rule is if I buy you something as a gift, it's yours. That's not a negotiable item in the event that we break up.
And you don't have a running list of things to ask back
no.
for. I don't know what you would do with the makeup. I mean,
use it. All right.
Just not let you have it.
Thank you, Donna.
Exactly.
Boy, he hated
next
you.
Toe.
Wow, did he hate you? He hated you a lot.
Let's try Mandy on line three. Mandy is in Lakewood. By the way, I think you could add Mandy to the list of names. Everyone named Mandy
always
is hot. That's my theory. Mandy, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, hello, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Hello, Mandy.
David Hasselhoff is fighting over a golf cart in court. Seems insignificant. What about you?
You know what? It wasn't actually me. It was my parents, and they fought over Disney VHS videos.
Disney videos?
Yes.
Because
they had a collection of Disney videos, which were actually ours as kids, but when they divorced, my mom took them all, and actually we had a bunch of them left at the house, and they went to court over it, actually.
Oh, my God.
They went to court. But what about the sentimental value? Is it maybe like they had good memories with you guys, or?
No, no.
Nothing like that. Just didn't want to see each other happy.
Yeah, I just think it was just my mom wanted them and didn't want my dad to have them, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of. I would just say, you keep the VHSs and pay me to buy DVDs of the same movies. That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Good. It's not toilet paper. We did talk to a guy last in the last break who fought over toilet paper.
Yeah, all day.
A roll of toilet paper.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's go to Monique in Hermosa Beach. Good morning, Monique.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Monique.
Petty stuff you fought over?
Okay. So way back in 94, getting a divorce, I was trying to avoid exactly what you guys were talking about, that I did refuse to fight over something so small and petty.
Right.
So I had my mom there as a mediator. My ex-husband and I are sitting there, and he wanted the salad spinner.
The salad spinner? Is that a euphemism?
I hope so.
He didn't even make or eat salad, and he wanted the salad spinner.
Wow.
Because... Well, you can't go buy those, for God's sakes.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Those are not available.
Yeah, what do you suppose, why do you suppose that's where he put his foot down?
I don't know. I was so mad. Maybe it had this fancy gadget. You pulled the lever and it spun the lettuce. I don't know.
I don't even know what a salad spinner is now that I think about it.
It dries your leaves.
No, I don't care.
It dries your leaves.
It dries your leaves. Okay.
Come on.
Well, that's worth fighting over.
Well, Monique, that's awesome. Thank you very much for the call. How about Shannon in Torrance Line 7? Now we're getting into an interesting area. Shannon, was this a boyfriend or a husband? What was the breakup?
It was a boyfriend, about 5 years. And not only did he take everything, of course, that he bought for me, but he also took my box of vibrators.
Oh, which, that's not acceptable. Oh.
That's,
hi, Lisa.
That's
May,
the
by
death
way.
Penalty, Missy. Right yeah. there.
He no longer wanted to satisfy you, and he wanted to make sure you weren't getting satisfied otherwise.
Not only that, but I used them most of the time when he wasn't there, so I don't even know why he would want them.
Yeah, he wanted them because you wanted them. That's
yep.
why.
Wow, exactly.
That's scary. Let's go to Michelle from Oceanside. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Michelle.
You're a lawyer?
No, I am a paralegal,
family
law attorney, and crazy thing, we represented this man. His wife, prior to filing for divorce, got breast implants.
Right.
And then realized how hot she was and left him?
Uh-oh.
He did not ask for him back.
He said he wanted one back. He said, they're community property, I'm entitled to one. She can have one, I give the other. And I thought it was the funniest thing. And of course, you know, no judge in his right mind gave him the other one. But
that's awesome.
He wanted the breath.
I want one of them.
That's creepy.
Wow.
Thank you for the call, Michelle. By the way, we have Dave on the line calling from Tarzana. Dave is on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Dave.
Okay.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Is this David Hasselhoff?
Nope.
All right. Well, what do you call it? We're doing a topic on insignificant things that you fought over in court with an ex.
Mm.
Basing it on the Hasselhoff story where he and his wife were fighting over a golf cart.
I'm okay.
I didn't ask that.
Are you and Pam fighting, in fact, over a golf cart? Is this report true?
Well, this is a mess.
It is a mess, but can you answer the question, Mr. Hasselhoff?
I'm on a golf cart.
You're on a golf cart or you won it?
I won a golf cart.
Okay, but can't you just buy another one?
Nope.
Why?
Why?
This is a mess.
Right?
Right.
This is a mess.
Right.
Okay, but what about buying a new golf cart, just letting this one go, let Pam have that one, you get a new one?
I'm okay.
We didn't ask if you were okay.
Nope.
He sure loves his Carl's Jr., doesn't he?
I want a golf cart.
You want your golf cart.
And a burger.
What?
And a burger.
And a burger.
And a burger.
Okay.
And a golf cart.
Burger and a golf cart.
And a golf cart. All right. That's coming right up.
Okay. All right.
I want my golf cart.
Right.
I want my golf cart.
Are you all right?
I'm a mess. Average.
David, are you all right?
is that Omar in the room with you?
What? I can't understand what you're saying, but it sounds like our friend Omar is with you. It is a mess, yes.
All right. Good times.
I could listen to this all day.
7:56. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Morning, Ralph.
I rented Bamboozled.
Oh, is that right?
That was good.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
and,
sounds good.
And Bamcoozle. Oh,
that was a good one, too. That's a double feature right there.
So you can find those in the back of the video story. Pick those up. I've got a real quick correction to make here before we get on with things, because I got this email at the end of yesterday's show, and I feel so bad about it, I wanted to correct it right away. It says, greetings, Ralph. Rather disappointed. My husband wasn't mentioned in the celebrity birthdays yesterday.
Oh.
He's 61 and very glad he made it. How about an honorable mention tomorrow? So this being tomorrow, I wanted to say happy birthday.
Is he a celebrity?
This email comes from Linda J. Pauley.
Oh,
no, yesterday was Gerald Pauley's birthday.
The Reverend Spiegel.
The Reverend Spiegel, Gerald Pauley, and did not realize it was his birthday yesterday. So happy 61st. Gerald, we love you and hope all is well and hope you're having a great birthday celebration. Hope it just you party all week long.
I wonder, since he's such good friends with God, he speaks with him all the time, I wonder if God gets him anything. Like, he could do anything for Gerald's birthday. He could make him taller. whatever Gerald wants, it seems like God could pull a string.
Clearly not, then.
I heard he got him a water pick.
Is that right?
That was an odd gift.
That's good for your gums.
Good for your gums.
It is good for your gums. Yeah, that's true. God knows clean. If his gums are...
Hey, if you don't have your teeth, you don't have anything.
That's true.
We got to talk to Harvey Levin about this whole Britney thing. Apparently, Harvey's on the inside now. He got a phone call from Sam Lufty out of Britney Spears' camp.
That's Sam Lufty.
He's the manager slash buddy slash parasite that hangs around with Britney, and he's upset because Britney's family is calling him poison.
Yeah, what a surprise.
And a megalomaniac who is motivated by evil.
Dude.
Is he a part of the axis of evil? Would you say?
Yes. He called Harvey yesterday saying that the story they posted about Britney's family believing Sam is poison is out of line because they're the problem. See, there was an intervention. Apparently the family showed up.
Okay.
To present Britney with an intervention, try to get her on the right path.
And that went well?
Well, Sam says there was no intervention. Britney's family just barged in. For the record, Harvey adds, the family is staging an intervention, but it was Sam Lufty that was kept in the dark. He said, they have an agenda, Sam said to Harvey. Their agenda is jealousy because they don't fit in. I do. They see her 3 times a year.
They don't fit in.
Could their agenda be keeping their daughter alive?
How naive of you, Bean.
Now, this tug of war between the family and this Lufty fellow, this is how Britney ended up sitting on the curb the other night wearing a fedora, holding her dog
crying
and sobbing.
With her puppy, yeah.
Yeah.
So in the middle of the intervention, Sam grabbed her and said, let's go car shopping. Took her to her Mercedes-Benz dealership. She picked up
in the
new
middle
car.
Of the intervention.
Uh-huh. She picked up a new car.
That makes everything better.
You know that part about you staying alive, Britney? Don't worry about that. Let's go by.
So Sam asked about that, and Harvey asked about that, and Sam said he didn't force Britney to buy a car. And Britney was sitting next to him during the phone interview.
Right.
He said, did I force you to buy a car? She said, no. And he said, do I ever bug you? She said, we argue.
Wow.
So apparently some bad feelings between the Lufty Spears' camp.
What would happen to Britney if all of a sudden, and I know this is impossible, it's just theoretical, all of a sudden everybody stopped covering her? There was no paparazzi, no news coverage, no interviews, nothing. They just ignored her.
Clearly they're reading TMZ. I'm sure they're looking at all the coverage.
The end is near.
Mm-hmm. That's what I say.
What if she just disappeared and went someplace and didn't show up for the paparazzi to take her picture for 6 months?
That'd be ideal.
Hmm. What happened then? Instead of going shopping at Hustler Hollywood at midnight.
Right.
It's just an option. One of the last people to talk to Heath Ledger before his death was spiritual author Deepak Chopra.
Good work.
He tells People magazine that he spoke to the actor the day before his death and that Mr. Chopra said that Heath was depressed about not seeing his daughter Matilda, felt exhausted due to a London film shoot, and was trying to get a massage scheduled at the Chopra Center in New York. By the time an appointment opened up, he had found another massage therapist, and of course this was the woman who later discovered his body, so... Nice work, Deepak.
Yeah.
The Beatles are finally getting their apology from Israel.
It's about... What?
Back in 1965, the Beatles were booked to play a concert in Israel, but the government wouldn't grant them the necessary permits, fearing that the band's music might corrupt Israel's youth.
Well, you know that damned rock and roll. You know what that does to kids.
You know the Beatles with that all I want to hold your hand business. Next thing you know, kids are holding hands all over
the
place.
That's right. Can't have that.
Can't have that.
Anarchy.
Next thing, yeah, I saw her standing there. Next thing, you're looking at some girl standing there. Can't have that.
Danger.
So Israel released an apology to the Beatles some 42 years later. And
they just apologize now?
Yeah. In fact, they've asked Paul and Ringo to come and perform a concert in the country's upcoming 60th anniversary party. No word yet of whether they're accepting or not.
That sounds unnecessary.
Israeli government has also extended an invitation to Bean to come to celebrate their 60th anniversary, but Bean would like to see them stricken from the face of the planet.
No,
I don't think that's true.
Not true at all.
Bean believes the United States is spending way too much time defending Israel and trying to keep a small pocket of democracy in the Middle East. He thinks that's a waste of our time and wishes they would all just die.
Well, I'm saying it's worth discussing.
He added.
I don't want anyone to die. I don't want anyone to die at all.
In response, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr have released the following single to celebrate the Israeli...
They put out a song?
60th anniversary, yeah.
That's good work,
Paul.
Paul and Ringo there. Paul and Ringo not doing very good music these days.
Well, you know.
Doing a Who cover, yeah.
They were short on time.
That's insignificant.
That's the only thing they had laying around.
Who would do something like that?
Choose.
Okay, that's
come
fine.
On.
Yeah. It's Bean at KROQ.com, by the way. Maybe we should get someone on tomorrow to defend Israel.
I'm not
Gene Simmons. There we go. Gene versus Bean. I like it.
Claiming that I'm an expert on the subject, I'm just saying, you know, from what little I know, it does. I don't even want to get into it again here. You're mischaracterizing my remarks. Is all I like.
Oh, am I?
Yes.
When you said, "When do I get my apology from Israel?" Last hour.
But that's very different from Bean wants the country of Israel wiped off the face of the earth. I never said anything like that.
Why? Taking it hard. Take it if you know it.
Bean hates the Jews. Bean hates you.
Not at all. Not even a little.
Paul's in good voice.
Paul and Ringo not exactly familiar with the rhythm of that song either.
Well, Ringo's not a big rhythm guy. They've never heard it before.
What does Ringo know about rhythm?
Yeah. I'd just like to know what Israel has to apologize to Bean for. I'm just curious. That's all. Maybe we can find that out tomorrow.
Just trying to make
rather
a
not.
Joke. Just
and this is the greatest
joke.
Story ever.
Yes?
I can't believe it. I'm so excited. Thank you so
you
much
just can't
to,
hide it?
To the listener who sent me this this news bulletin because I had no idea this was coming.
Okay.
And now I get to roll around in it and enjoy it. Opening on February the 7th, a new movie, a biopic, if you will, about a legendary musical artist.
Okay.
The title of the film
is
Falco, Verdammt wir leben noch.
Really?
Falco. Damn it, we're still alive. It's called The Life and Times of Falco. The life story of Falco captured on film.
Really?
Really.
February 7th. They're making a movie about the singer.
Falco! Falco! Falco!
We know who he is.
I've seen the trailer. It's awesome. It's all in Austrian German. I don't know a word they're saying, but I do hear it say, number one, Rock Me Amadeus! He's got the paper in his hand, and he's all excited.
Because he just found out that the song's
on. Just found out that he's got the number one single, yeah.
That's what this world needs right now, is a movie about Falco.
Oh, I can't wait. That's him, like, banging three chicks at once and stuff and doing all kinds of blow. It's awesome! Falco!
We should find
Verdammt
out.
Verdammt wir leben noch!
Who the actor is who's playing Falco and why you weren't considered for that role.
Oh.
That's true. Who's done more for Falco than Ralph?
Oh.
Nobody.
Falco movie. The Falco movie.
He tragically died in an auto accident a few years ago. Did he not, Ralph?
He was hit by a bus.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. But Grace Jones also co-stars, so that's going to be good.
Grace Jones?
9 foot tall black woman. Remember
as him?
No, not as him.
Oh.
I think she's the angel of death, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Which makes a lot of sense if you've ever seen Grace Jones. Today's celebrity birthdays. Yesterday was Speaker Gerald Pauly's birthday.
Yes.
Just to remind everyone. Today's birthdays are Wilmer Valderrama, Fez from That 70s Show. It's Christian Bale's birthday. Plays, of course, Batman. the upcoming Dark Knight and Batman Begins and American Psycho.
Psycho Mike, but
great actor.
Oh. 34 years old today. Speaking of Christian Bale, we talked to Steve Zahn earlier today.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen Rescue Dawn.
I haven't seen that.
Which was a limited release film, but I believe now is on DVD.
It is. I saw it over the holidays.
Oh, do yourself a favor. It is a rough movie, but it is some brilliant performances in that movie. Yeah. I really recommend it.
They came to party, and they were disappointed.
He's 34 years old today. Phil Collins is 57.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Woo!
She's all I need all my life.
Worst song ever.
Feels so good if I say the word. Susu Studio.
That works for me, too, by the way. If you just say the word Susu Studio, everything's better.
You feel a lot better?
Yeah.
Guy came out of, like, Genesis. They had, like, real music and everything. And then he was doing
that BS.
Into the night, in the air tonight. Is that the name of that song? What a great song that is! And then he starts doing Susu Studio
and then Disney stuff.
Yeah,
right?
And Tarzan movies and crap.
He went south quickly.
Phil, come on. 57 years old today. Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney.
It's like an 8-minute birthday segment alone. This section. He's 67 years old today. Phil Collins has a new song. I think it's a Who cover though. Have you ever heard that? Phil Collins. He just released a new single.
Why
so funny
would he
we
do
were talking
that?
About him, but it's a cover of a Who song talking about Bean's political stance on Israel, which I thought was odd.
No, I got it here.
Since we just found out about it.
That's
Phil Collins.
How about that? Was all the
Jews.
Stars, who I thought that was.
Bean hates you.
Quiet, you.
Good time to whip up a Juju Judeo. We could have done that.
Next hour.
And Gene Hackman, one of my favorite actors, double Oscar winner. He's 78 years old today. Check out Welcome to Mooseport. Seriously.
Wow.
Can't go wrong. He's the best. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk show. Oh, what? Where do I walk?
Showbiz Beat.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I'm at the mall yesterday, and I'm looking around, and I start walking into stores, and I say, Pride. Who has some Pride? I need Pride. Anyone here have Pride?
Man.
I need some Pride. Do you sell Pride? And you know what? No one.
No one. Really?
No one sells Pride.
Wow.
It's the Kevin DeBeach Show, KROQ 106.7 KROQ. I think, Kevin, you're confused. What you're referring to, it sounds like, is our man Lightning Store down in Long Beach, Long Beach Clothing Company, the company that sells Long Beach-centric clothing and also comes up with the worst advertising slogans in American history.
And by worst, you mean best.
I mean the company that brought you We're Fresh to Death is now bringing you what's the new slogan? What do you say, Light?
Pride sold here.
I don't know if it's necessarily a slogan, as if it were just a one-month campaign in a small circulation magazine.
So we have Fresh to Death since 2003.
Yeah.
Right.
And we asked him at the time, off the air, what the hell was Fresh to Death? And he said, don't know. I just like it.
Do you want to be fresh to death? I'm not even certain that I understand whether it's good or bad.
Well, you know what? I mean, they're like little sayings that go around the shop that the manager will come up with or whatever, and they just kind of stick.
Tell them to stop it.
The fresh to death is more fresh till death. You know, it's like we're
it can't be fresh till death since 2003.
But it was kind of it's poking.
Make up your mind. You're going forward or back?
That one was kind of poking fun at ourselves.
I'm confused.
All, I don't even understand.
It's like watching Lost here, trying to understand where we are. What year is it?
Don't even get me started on a whole thing of Lost tonight, trying to catch us up before tomorrow. So,
yeah, no,
Pride sold here.
Yeah, I think you're interpreting it incorrectly.
Is it possible to interpret it incorrectly?
We're not selling Pride as if you can, you know, we've got a wheelbarrow full of Pride and you can take a scoop. I mean,
how do you sell it? Is it in a container of some kind?
We take Pride. If you buy the merchandise, you're buying stuff that we take pride in. Buying stuff that we take pride in.
So you add pride to the bag with a shirt or whatever?
No.
But so it doesn't give me pride? It's stuff you have pride in?
You're not selling Pride then.
Pride is being transferred, yes.
No, you're not selling Pride.
You're transferring.
If you're not a purveyor of Pride.
If I can't buy Pride.
Officially Pride not sold there.
This is false. I can't buy Pride. Sold here.
You just clearly stated.
It may have been a misstep in marketing, yes.
I would like to ask him how much Pride is. That's my question. How much is it?
I don't know that it's necessarily for sale.
When you came up with that, your tagline, which you just said, you take pride in it, why not we take pride in what we sell? That's a much better slogan.
We came up with several things like that, but they were all wordy, and it was very matter of fact. And I don't think anyone stared at it the way you did. I'm glad you did because
I didn't stare at it. Couldn't have been happier to see it in Skinny Magazine, I think it was.
Yeah,
and rip it out because I've had it for like 2 months because Lightning sells Pride, and I've been in the market.
But here's
what I'm confused about, Mike. I have to ask you guys. Pride sold here is what it says in the ad, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this conversation, Lightning, who owns and runs the Long Beach Clothing Company, said almost exactly the words, we don't actually sell Pride.
Right. Right. Yes.
That's correct. But what it came don't out, you understand?
I think that I wanted the interpretation to be that, hey, you know, you're buying merchandise that we take pride in creating.
Right.
But that's like Coca-Cola
advertising. We sure like selling bottles of soda. I mean, what's in it for the buyer if it makes you happy and makes you money? What do they get?
No, but you feel good. You get a warm and fuzzy by purchasing something that people are not just mass marketing. They really believe in the product.
I don't
think
that's a bad benefit.
Am I for sure? Or are you just hope?
Yeah, well, I mean, how do we know? Maybe you're not as happy with the shirt I'm buying.
I don't know if you can quantify our pride.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But I know that there's a lot of it within the walls of my building.
All right, let's say good morning to Karen in Calabasas. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hello.
Hearing a teaser for the segment, I assumed it was for a gay pride store.
A gay pride store?
Yeah. Being a gay woman, that was my,
That would make sense.
Pride sold here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would make perfect sense. Yeah. Lightning, do you sell gay?
No.
All right, sorry. It's not for you, Karen.
We're gay-friendly, but we don't cater to the crowd.
Okay.
Do you sell extra, extra large women's sweatshirts?
Oh,
no.
Then you sell gay pride.
No. What's wrong with you?
Not really.
So you don't sell
there.
Pride, is what you're saying.
No, again,
you're telling
just,
us now
an
you don't sell
for
pride.
27 days, maybe, again, not...
Well, then what's the next... Step.
What is your
well,
next
we
one?
Haven't we haven't gone on with it. That was actually the last one that we ran.
What
about the commercial you're running on K Rock though? What about that? I mean, that's it. Sounds to me like you're continuing to sell Pride.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hello, is this Alan?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, it's Lightning from the Long Beach Clothing Company.
Hey, Lightning.
Hey, listen, buddy. I understand from your email that you were trying to buy some Pride recently.
That's right. I was looking around all over Southern California for some Pride.
Did you find some?
I did. I was in Fullerton and I saw Pride being sold for $1 million.
But then you went to Long Beach Clothing Company, right?
Yeah, I went to Long Beach Clothing Company, and I saved myself $400 a month.
And that's not radio bogusness.
No, it isn't, Lightning. By the way, I can hear the bass in your voice just fine.
And how much did you save on Pride again?
$400 a month.
A month?
That's right, a month.
A month?
Seriously, a month.
A month?
That's right, a month.
A month?
Yep.
A month.
Uh-huh.
A month.
A month.
That's a good deal on Pride.
You better believe it. If you're in the market for some Pride, you got to go to Long Beach Clothing Company. This isn't some weird radio bit.
Long Beach Clothing Company, where we sell Pride, and we've been deaf since 1908.
I'm now confused.
I think they're fresh.
I don't know.
Well, guys, I'm sorry.
That is radio bogus.
Well, I guess they're doing 7 shows before they get to Hollywood on American Idol this season. And last night, I want to say, was number 5 of those. They were in the Midwest for the first time in a long time in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
10,000 people showed up to audition.
10,000?
They had them all the way from Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa. Ralph, you must have been in hell because almost everyone who showed up wanted to sing country music last night.
Oh, effing country music.
Oh, really? That's something they chose?
There was a lot of that. And to give you an idea of the level of quality of the program last night, 10,000 people showed up. I believe they said 18 made it through to Hollywood.
Actually, 19.
Wow. 19 out of 10,000. So not good odds. Part of the problem with America, I think American Idol has been, I love the show. It's a great show, but I think it has done more to contribute to the feeling that the average guy on the street living in Nebraska can be a superstar than any other show on TV.
Right.
I think people now, they show up and that's their life in the judge's hands, is that's their plan to make it to be rich and famous in Hollywood is by being the next American Idol. They see Jordan Sparks who won last year and they go, well, I could do that, right? And that's where we start this morning with the recap of last night's American Idol with Chris. He's 25 from Fremont, Nebraska, and he's pretty wrapped up in the show.
I've been waiting to do this for the last 7 seasons. And finally, today, I'm so happy. I feel like I could explode, and happiness is going to go flying everywhere.
Yeah. That's certainly something Psycho Mike is familiar with, by the way.
Yeah. This is the biggest life-alternating change in my life. This is my greatest moment of my life.
Well, it is a life-alternating event for him.
How about some singing, a-hole?
So far, Simon, I am the next American Idol. I come one in a million. This is my dream.
Ooh.
So don't ruin it.
And that's my point, is that all of these kids...
It.
think that they're one in a million, and it's their birthright to be the next American Idol. And if they're told they have no talent, as Chris was, by the way, then their life is just ruined, and they just collapse into a little ball.
And it's not their fault at all.
That's what they think.
If he becomes one in a million, he's got to get out more, I think.
he does. It doesn't seem like a very good odds.
Right. So Chris didn't make it, although the judges were impressed with his personality, and they did say that he could cover the red carpet of the finals for the local Fox affiliate there in Omaha, Nebraska. So at least he walked out of there with something.
Wow.
There was a theme on the show last night. A lot of people showed up and just forgot the words. Some people really weren't even trying, if you want my honest opinion.
I didn't even learn the words of that song because I'm... been talking to my mom, whoops, and I don't know the words of that song.
I don't think he really took his audition very seriously.
Why would they even put him on? He's clearly just joking.
There were some people who showed up who maybe didn't really understand the kind of music that is acceptable for American Idol.
Oblivious to the chaos around her was Sarah Whittaker. She was in the zone, ready to get raw.
I used to be a professional wrestler.
All right, let's talk about Sarah, who shows up. She's big and fat with goth makeup on. And what do you make of her, Ralph? What was her deal? She just wanted to be on TV?
She was a former female wrestler who, his wrestling name was Lady Morgue.
Lady Morgue.
Yeah. Yes. And she thought she was going to bring a new flavor to the whole American Idol scene.
Sure. What she's most famous for is her laugh as Lady Morgue. I don't know that there's any reason to put that on television anywhere.
I hate her.
At least when she got in front of the crowd, she really knew how to bring it. I mean, the girl can sing.
Things that bother you never bother me. Aha! Living in the sunlight, loving in the moonlight, having a wonderful time.
It really was a freak show last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
You don't expect that song to come out of that woman.
No, you don't. You don't. I think Ralph's right. He made the point earlier that maybe we're getting to the point where there are just too many shows of a reality nature on television, and even the contestants who appear are starting to get confused.
Can't wait till you get to Hollywood and to prove Simon wrong that I am America's Next Top Model.
You gotta at least keep it straight what show you're auditioning for.
She's tried out for everything?
Yes. Yeah.
I do. I think that's exactly. She just got confused. Oh, it's Tuesday? Which one is this? Johnny showed up in his shiny gold suit. He really believed himself to be an entertainer. Does a lot of charity appearances. I think he shows up at hospitals and stuff like that. He doesn't get paid. And I can't figure out why you wouldn't hire him to be an entertainer at your event when you hear how great he is singing the Isley Brothers classic song, Shout.
Come on, come on, and say that you... Say that you need me, say that you want me, say that you need me, you wanna please me, come on now, come on now, come on now.
I don't think Simon has ever hated a contestant and everything about him more than he hated poor Johnny.
Hospitals allow that guy in where people can't leave?
I know, it doesn't seem right at all. And there was just, just in general, very low talent level, as we mentioned, only 19 get through out of 10,000. Here's kind of an example of maybe the theme of the crowd and their ability.
Well, I don't know why I'm here tonight.
I got a feeling that something ain't right.
I'm so scared in case I fall out my chair.
I'm just wondering how I get down the stairs.
Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. Well, yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Was there anyone last night you liked, Ralph? Anyone who really captured your imagination?
Not particularly, no.
Why were they all singing with music? How does that
work?
It was
a montage. They did a montage. A lot of people sang the same songs. So
they all picked that song randomly?
They clipped them all together. And I think when you show up at the auditions, they give you, if you don't have a song ready, they say, here's two or three songs that we suggest that we've already got clearance for that we know you can sing. So I think they bring a lot of people in singing the same stuff.
I got you.
Yeah. I thought Ryan was unusually annoying last night, too. Usually, I just don't even notice him on the show.
Hey, at least he's not going to be doing the red carpet at the Super Bowl.
Great part about last night, too, was that Paula Abdul showed up late, and you thought she was just way hungover when she showed up. She was just having a nightmare.
Awesome.
It was great.
Love that.
Yeah. Anyway, so another episode tonight, I guess, and then one more of the Bad Singers before we get to Hollywood. I think that's where we are. But once again, last week, in case you're wondering, number one and number two TV show of the week is American Idol.
At least this year, we're going to have this week, we're going to have the Super Bowl. At least that's going to beat it, hopefully.
With Ryan Seacrest and Paula Abdul and Randy Jackson
doing the red carpet with this song.
I don't know round, and she would go through to the next round if Paula were auditioning.
Are you kidding? She wouldn't make it anywhere.
No, not that.
All right.
All right, Fox, we know you have American Idol.
We got it.
You don't have to ruin the Super Bowl with that. Seriously.
Congratulations to Nick Dykens from Lakewood, by the way. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't think that's him.
Different Nick. He's going to be going to that show we've been telling you about called The Bamboozle Left with My Chemical Romance, Paramore, and More. That's at the Verizon on April 5th and 6th. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10. Nick is also eligible for the drawing we do Friday to send someone to Paramore in Berlin.
All right,
your,
Berlin.
Your chance to qualify
right,
is coming
Berlin
up.
Berlin live in Livermore.
Nope, it's Paramore in Berlin, the city, Berlin.
I don't think we have time for more Kevin and Bean tape from 1990.
I don't think you have time not to listen to this tape.
But
you need
come on.
To hear.
I wish we
haven't
had time.
We suffered enough?
Haven't the K-Rock listeners suffered enough?
Bean found tape of us on our first week at K-Rock. And the rule has been up until this point, although now I think it's too painful. If you find something embarrassing, you must bring it in and get beaten with it.
Look, Cucamonga Heat, all my beginning radio stuff, you guys play the crap out of that. It's about time it's your turn.
ABC After School Specials?
Yes.
But it's been. I feel like it's been our turn a lot. Maybe that's because there's been so much bad Kevin and Bean.
More than usual.
But in our defense, and I know it's indefensible because we're about to hear this tape, but in our defense, we really had never done a morning show at all when we came to K-Rock in January of 1990. I mean, this is us learning as we went.
But
I
know you never heard a joke before?
I know,
have
it's
you
hard
no
to tell.
Idea what might have been funny to anybody ever?
No, this is...
Were you raised by platypuses?
This is where a lot of people make the same mistake. You go, I could do that. That would be easy. And then when you step in to start doing it, you're awful.
The difference between not knowing radio and not having one funny, interesting thing to say.
Yeah.
You guys got here to K-Rock in 1990, and you got in the studio and said...
Well, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do?
Well, there's a phone. Let's call anybody we can all the time.
We still do that.
All but you do is make fun. Phone calls.
That's good.
But we didn't have listeners. We had no listeners. It's not like we had calls. Remember, this is pre-internet, so it's not like there was a great wealth of material out there that was ripe for the picking.
How about
your brain?
How about a mouth? How about coming up with something funny or interesting to say?
We did not have those skills.
What would make you think we had those skills?
We don't have them now, that's for sure.
That's correct.
Here's the second half of my expose on how horrible Kevin and Bean are and continue to be to this day.
And what a surprise we're still
Ralph
here.
Ralph is enjoying this too much, by the way.
Not enjoying it. It's a public service. I feel like the guy who found out that, you know, that the, what was that? Oh, never mind.
I don't know.
You don't have time for me to figure out what I'm trying to say. I'm ripping the lid off a scandal is what I'm doing. And you guys... Yeah, exactly. I'm like Woodward and Bernstein, finding out what's going on with the Watergate tapes. It's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Here is, you guys found out that there was some woman who was preaching abstinence to young people. They should wait until they get married to have sex.
Okay.
Wow. That's a shocking idea. We need to do a bit on that, because that's really fascinating. Who would ever say that?
It's funny, because we've done bits on that since then.
Oh, I know.
But these people have been saying don't have sex before marriage since, oh, I don't know, Jesus walked on the earth. So you call her, and of course, because it's you, there's no answer.
Right.
And
we didn't have it set up ahead of time to interview the person?
So there's just an answering machine, and she leaves this interminably long message, which I... out of just sympathy for the K-Rock listeners, have cut out of this segment. Because it goes on for like 4 minutes.
And we let it air, right?
Yeah, of course you did. You just listened to it on the air.
Okay.
And then she said, well, I might be screening my calls, so leave me a message. And then you guys just wait for the beep. And I said, well, at least when they leave the message, they'll say something funny about abstinence or sex or something. You would think
that's the setup punchline.
Well,
you'd think.
Please enjoy.
I may be monitoring the four NCA lines while I'm working on this.
She's listening to us.
So if this is anyone else calling me personally, please leave a message as you ordinarily would.
All right.
And if I'm able, I'll pick up your call.
All right.
Thank you.
Give us a beep.
Go for it.
Give us a beep.
I'm ticked at this one. All right, pick it up. Pick up the phone.
Mary. It is the media. It's KROQ.
It's K-Rock in Los Angeles, and we know you're listening. What's your name, Mary?
Mary Meyer. Come on, pick up the phone.
All right, let's leave our message.
We just want to say that women like you really tick us off.
It is hard enough. I couldn't get a date in a woman's prison as it is. And you're out there telling people to say no. Let's leave Just Say No to Nancy Reagan, okay?
Nice.
Don't need to hear it from you.
Bean has big enough problems.
I have big enough problems.
And you're men of the 90s, and men of the 90s need...
No chastity.
Men of the 90s need women of the 90s. And if Mary Meyer has her way, it'll never happen. All right, so it's KROQ in Los Angeles. Give us a call if you can. 818-567-1067. That's our business line. We want to talk to you privately off the air, young lady. So we'd appreciate if you call. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
So that's...
Maybe if you had talked to her privately off the air in the first place, before you did the on-air bit, you would realize there was nothing to do with her on the air. Sorry, we're out
of time. Oh, you look at the clock.
I'm sorry. Ladies like you really tick us off. Oh, burn.
What was that whole men of the 90s, women of the 90s? What the hell was that?
Because it was the 90s, man.
Man, I don't remember this at all. This is ugly.
That was... If only Lisa had been on the show then, she maybe could have saved that bit, but her predecessor apparently did not.
Well, she was your producer, too. Where was the producing?
Yeah, exactly.
How about that?
How about getting someone on the phone?
Who needs to be produced more than these two?
But it's not like we came in and said, Ralph, here's a tape. We were great in 1990 when we started. I mean, we know we were bad. We understand that.
But it's inexcusable that you're still on the air after that start.
I think that's true. I think you're right on that.
So you get to K-Rock and you say, oh, we're doing the K-Rock World Tour. We're going to meet every person in Southern California. That was your bit.
This is one of our things in the first week?
Yeah, which was
we're going to meet everyone.
You're going to go personally meet everyone in Southern California.
Okay, but that makes sense because that's what a new show would do that's trying to introduce itself to the audience,
right? You would go out and personally meet everyone house to house personally in Southern California?
Well, how did that go?
How do you think it went?
And then you go on the fact that you're not doing so well doing that, and you hadn't even met everyone at K-Rock yet.
Okay.
Especially Poor Man.
Apparently, there's a flashback.
Who was out sick, you hadn't met him yet. So you were calling Poor Man at home.
Oh, another phone call.
Of course, all they did, Lisa, was make phone calls.
Was he at least there? Was he there?
Of course he wasn't there.
Ah, come on.
And they got another answering machine, and you had to leave another hilarious message.
Really?
And you were hoping maybe that you could ask him if you could host Total Request Video on KDOC.
No.
So
that was our bit.
Please enjoy you asking Poor Man if
I don't
you
think
could
this is us.
Do your hosting TV job.
We'll see.
And you know, I think we're close to have met everyone here at K-Rock, too. There's still like one guy, though.
We're brand new. We haven't met everybody. And Poor Man has been on vacation like for the first 9 weeks when we were working on this show.
What kind of deal do you have to get a 9-week vacation?
Figured that out, didn't we?
Yeah, you got that one down. There's one area you have made some progress in your careers is how to get 27 weeks off.
But aren't we doing the listeners a favor by taking time off listening to this?
Just listen to your message to Poor Man.
And then he comes back from vacation this week. He's sick. Sure he is. So we're thinking we'll dial up Poor Man and just see if we can find out how we can get a deal like that for ourselves. Call and introduce ourselves, at least, at a minimum. Maybe get on his TV show.
Thanks for calling the Sick Palace. I've got 102-degree temperature, so...
Yeah, sure you do.
I'm going to be going to the doctors and then snoozing the rest of the day, more than likely. Anyway, you can leave your message at the tone. And Huntington Henry, they want you to substitute on request videos.
No!
So if you get this message, get right to the show.
No, we want
to
do
Anybody else, just leave your message.
Perfect. Poor Man.
Hang on. You got to wait for the beep.
Oh, wait for the beep? Is that how they work now?
Poor Man, we want to do the show.
We want to do the TV show.
You haven't met us yet.
You don't even know who we are. We're calling to take over your lives.
There's a new morning show on K-Rock since you've been gone these 9 weeks.
You know, a lot of things have changed. Bush is in. Have you heard that? A lot of things have happened since you've been on vacation, on that big 3-year vacation.
We'd like to do the show, and we want to figure out how we can get some kind of a contract like you got for 8 weeks off.
Kevin and Bean, if you remember, it's KROQ. We got little studios here in Burbank. I don't know. It's probably been a long time since you've been over here, but please give us a call anyway. Thank you very much.
Oh, you didn't give him the number.
Are you saying he was on vacation a lot? Was that the point?
I think that was the gist.
He wasn't working much? Was that the gist of the 4-minute bit you did?
Bush is in. Goes by without comment.
I couldn't hate those guys more.
Ralph, did we ever actually talk to anyone else, or was it just Kevin and me in a room making phone calls every day?
I never heard you in the tape that I listened to actually get through to anyone on the other end of the phone.
But at least we didn't put the phone ringing on the air.
But at least now we've got Ralph to be the abstinence woman or to be Poor Man or to be whoever we need. If we need somebody on the other end of the phone, we can set it up. Back then, we didn't have you, Ralph. You were too smart then.
You're horrible.
Yeah, that's, wow.
That's awful.
I couldn't. Sorry, we're out of
time. Yes, you are out of time.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KRQFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles, and it's a minute after 9 o'clock.
A lot of bad vibrations in the room today, and I think most of them are coming from a person whose initials are R and G. I don't mind telling you.
You mean F and G?
Yeah,
F and H. Frank Harmon.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I wonder how Bean, rationalizes the fact that he loves Bill Handel because he's a radio person, yet right. Handel is Jewish. And he hates the Jews.
I love the Jews. I don't hate Israel.
How does he reconcile those two different feelings?
I don't have any problem with Bill or the Jews. I don't even know where this is coming from.
Jew are you?
Come on.
Jew.
Bean hates the Jews.
It's the Beatles, by the way.
Bean
hates you.
So Ralph is trying to bury me with our listeners, but I made one comment earlier that I just thought maybe sometimes we should reevaluate our 100% no questions asked commitment to Israel in our foreign policy things. That's all I said. Not that I don't want them to live or exist or have a country or not be safe.
I don't think you said America, it quite that eloquently.
No, I believe you said,
well, that's
why
the
is America
short
spending
version.
All the time and money it takes to defend Israel is what you were saying.
I just said it was it seemed to me that maybe it's worth looking into the inordinate
amount of
time.
You didn't say that at all. You
spent.
Said, why
I
is America spending all the time and money
he
to defend
started
Israel?
With Israel owes me an apology.
When am I going to get my apology from Israel is what you asked initially.
And that's just for the movie Yentl. So that's all I was asking for.
Stop trying to, smooth it over and tart it up by being the elder statesman now, okay? Let's not forget what you actually said.
I'm telling you, I'm paraphrasing what I actually said, but you're trying to inflame people by playing the Jew Are You song as if that was coming from me. I had nothing to do with that or Ralph's remarks.
All the waste that happens in government with time and money, Israel's where you're drawing the line. That's what's got to go. That's what you're saying.
There's a lot of waste of time and money, and when Ron Paul's president, things are going to change around here.
But you want to start with Israel, wiping them off the map.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I didn't say that at all.
Well, you and Bill Handel, when you're having lunch, you're going to have a heated discussion over that, I'm sure. When you get together with your radio gang coffee clutch, and you're all there making quilts together, then you can talk about it then.
Would you like to attend? Is that what you're asking,
not
Ralph?
In
you
a
want to be part of the crowd?
Years.
All
right, you can go, Ralph.
I want to go.
That's fine. You can show up. It's all right.
Why does everyone hate?
Why do you hate everyone you work with but love everyone else in radio?
That's not the case at all.
That's
why did you
true.
Abandon Psycho Mike at the Dodger game when you went, "Ooh, John and Ken," and ran over to them and left Dave and Mike standing there looking like idiots with the thumbs up their butt?
I wanted to say hello, that's all. It's
because they're radio people.
No, I'm also friends with Dave and Mike. I do stuff with Dave and Mike, too.
Yeah, you guys hang out all the time.
What was the last thing you did with Man. Dave and Mike?
Wow. Makes the point of having lunch every day with Bob Rivers from Cairo or whatever freaking Seattle station is.
Listen.
Wouldn't come to my wedding. Let's all remember that, okay?
Good point.
You should be at like the MTV Awards or something when there's a giant room with a lot of radio stations there and we can't get Bean back to the table.
Because he's going from radio station to radio station.
Hey, how's it going? What do you got? What do you guys do?
You have neat call letters. You guys have t-shirts?
Guys, it's no different than anyone else who hangs out with people in their profession. You don't think football players hang out with football players?
But, you don't hang out with us and we work with you. That's what we're saying.
I've had an ass full of you guys. I don't mind telling you.
He doesn't really do friendship. If he texts Dave, he figures that's friendship. That's doing
stuff. Mike and I texted yesterday. I think that shows my commitment to our friendship.
You're pathetic. All right, let's look at the show business.
He's
I gotta get out of
robot.
Here.
Robot.
Great stuff on TMZ today. Always great stuff on TMZ.com. It's our favorite entertainment news website. But today's been outstanding. My favorite new video is James Gandolfini stiff-arming a guy in the face in an airport.
Yeah! Really? A paparazzo?
Why? No, an a-hole fan.
Oh,
call
no.
him a fan. It's Gandolfini getting off a plane, coming from probably from Los Angeles back to New York, because he was out here for the SAG Awards this weekend.
Right.
That's and he's getting off the plane in New York, and some jackhole New Yorker comes up to him looking for an autograph, obviously, but also saying, "Hey, how can I be in the Sopranos? Hey, I want to be a Soprano."
Oh.
And he's like in his face doing this horrible sort of wise guy routine.
He did the right thing then.
And Gandolfini playfully at first puts his hand on his face and just pushes him off.
Did he say,
"He's a fag"?
No, he didn't say that.
All right.
Then the guy comes back and starts in on him, and then Tony grabs him by the lapels and starts to force him and stiff arm him and shake him. It's the greatest thing
awesome.
Ever. Tony Soprano just going off on a guy.
Good for him.
And then the guy goes, I'm going to sue. And he starts saying all this kind of stuff. So at the end, Gandolfini brings him over and takes a picture with him and shakes his hand and tries to make nice. But you can tell he's just hating every minute. You see his personnel, his like staff get around and go, "You better do it. You better make nice or else you're going to get sued." You can just tell he's like trying to talk him off the ledge. So he acquiesces and tries to make nice with this guy. But it's fascinating video. You got to take a look.
It's also interesting, and I thought of this as I was watching him on the SAG Awards, Ralph, and I know you're a James Gandolfini fan. No one is less like his character than James. I mean, he's just so shy and and awkward.
Yeah,
well, the opposite of Tony Soprano.
He was in full character mode at the airport because I thought he was going to kill this guy.
Two to the head?
Yeah. Boom, bada bing. It's over. It's good stuff. Also,
take him for a drive with Adriana.
That's right. Christopher. Also on TMZ today, you got to check out Britney Spears losing her mind, going into full British Brit mode.
What is this about her going into these characters?
They say she has a personality dysfunction where she actually slips into different personas.
Maybe she thinks she's Madonna.
And one of them is British Brit. And here she is at a stoplight, I think it is, and there's a guy videoing her, who is also British, by the way, probably right. What spurred her into this. But she is talking to him and trying to talk him off of shooting her. But for some reason, she's using out this horrible British accent.
Where are you going, Brittany? Is everything okay?
Why don't you go film your friend? Maybe you guys can make a lot of money together.
Who's the chick?
That's Britney
what?
Spears.
That's Britney.
Oh, yeah.
Gay videos are in, you know. Are you going to continue to sit here and film me? Or are you going to be on your way? Because I'm never going anywhere. Are you going to be on your way?
What the
That's
hell?
That's her favorite British phrase. Are you going to be on your way, or do you want to come to my flat?
I think Lisa is her dialect coach,
double
by
gamer.
The way.
So too.
Her dialect coach, yeah. She sounds like
wow.
A,
oh my God.
A chimney sweep from Mary Poppins.
Britney's gone bye-bye.
Lisa's right. Britney's from Louisiana. Madonna's from Detroit. They both talk like that.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
It's a nightmare.
Wow.
Reality TV news. NBC's given the green light to a second season of Celebrity Apprentice.
Why?
Well, the show's an unexpected hit.
It's kind of fun to watch these people who are in control of their lives and careers having to take orders and work together.
They sure don't
it's
like it.
Interesting.
That's true.
Yeah.
I wish Gene Simmons was still on.
I know.
He was my favorite. He was fascinating to watch.
He's probably the smartest of them, too, by the way.
But the guy, Piers Morgan, who is the judge for America's Got Talent,
mm-hmm.
The British guy, and also a big producer over in England, he is the guy who's just Machiavelli. He's just pulling everybody's strings.
Oh,
just
really?
Playing everybody against each other.
Does everyone hate him, or are they all?
They're starting to.
Yeah.
Him and Stephen Baldwin are starting to get into it. It's very entertaining. Anyway, no word yet on who will be signed up for the second run of Celebrity Apprentice, but I can guarantee you, all A-listers.
Sure.
Probably Madonna and Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Remember when he was trying to tell us that the first time around?
Oh, yeah.
Madonna and Lindsay Lohan are talking about doing the show. We don't know if we're going to accept them or not. So, we'll see.
I have a no Omarosa policy in my home, so I've not been able to check that out.
She is horrible.
She's still on the show?
She is horrible.
They brought her back for Celebrity Apprentice.
No, I know, but
she seems less crazy than the rest of them, frankly.
Wow.
Yeah, she's working it. And congratulations to Craig Ferguson, one of our favorite late-night talk show hosts. On Monday Night Show, he revealed the score of his citizenship test, and turns out he got a perfect score.
He's a fan.
No, he is not. He's
Come
an
on.
American.
That's right.
That's right. Now he's an American.
He's an American, goddammit.
I would like for us to take the American citizenship test.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
To see how it would be.
Kevin, you don't want to take it.
Oh, really. My God.
I'd get deported.
Don't you really.
Is there a line below which you would get deported if you get enough wrong?
There should be.
They won't even take you in Europe. And lastly, it's coming out next month. I can't wait. I just found out about it. The 7th of February, the new Falco biopic.
Oh, God.
Why?
The life story of Falco, done in a feature film.
Edie Falco?
Falco, the legendary rock star. It's coming out of Germany, and it is called Falco, Verdammt, wir leben noch.
Oh, sure.
Which means, damn it, we're still alive. Story of his rise to fame on the backs of one of the greatest songs of all time, Rock Me Amadeus.
Did he have any other hits?
His descent into cocaine and sex addiction. Your commissar, too.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And Vienna Calling was a big dance record for him.
Oh,
but why is it Falco, we're still alive when the guy is clearly still dead?
Because his legend lives on.
Yeah.
Only with you, though, Ralph.
Not true.
You're it.
There have been musicals made about his life in Austria.
Falco?
Yes.
Are we talking about the same guy?
Falco's a huge star still in Germany and Austria.
And he played Tony Soprano's wife on the show, right?
Yes.
That's what we're talking about?
Edie Falco.
I'm confused.
Let Bill Handel have that joke. Let us keep the good ones and give Handel the crappy ones.
Clear that one out.
Yeah, send that one over.
Call that right over.
When I get some good ones,
it's fine.
We can just talk about anything we want on their show. Today's celebrity birthdays. You got to hear the tape. You got to hear the tape of Handel. So, do you have the tape, Bean? Do you have it there?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Please.
I don't. Well, I'm happy to bring it in. You want to do something with it tomorrow? I don't have it at my fingertips
right
now.
Tomorrow.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Wilmer Valderrama, Fez from That 70s Show, is 28 years old today. Christian Bale turns 34. He, of course, star of Batman Begins and the soon-to-be-seen The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger. Phil Collins is 57 years old today. Our vice president, Dick Cheney, celebrates his 67th birthday today. And what's going on that side of the room?
Gene Hackman. Dick Cheney.
Gene Hackman, one of my favorite actors, double Oscar winner. He hasn't been doing much lately. I think he may be semi-retired.
Sure.
But, I hope he works
well. Well, Mooseport, too, I think he's holding for.
He's taking care of that. He is 78 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 18 minutes after 9 o'clock. I don't think we have time, unfortunately.
Of course we do.
For this song.
The holiday is Saturday, Kevin. How dare you?
Super Bowl Saturday?
Groundhog Day! Groundhog Day! Ooh, Groundhog Day! Winter predictions are going to happen. Tommy,
Phil,
Groundhog Day outside my window. Groundhog Day behind a tree. We wait for Punxsutawney.
Phil,
is it his shadow that he will see? And it's Groundhog Day outside my window plane.
Our shadow, I'm a groundhog. That Bill Murray movie. People in Pennsylvania are stupid. I'm Punxsutawney Phil, bitch. It all happens at Gobbler's Knob. That just sounds funny. Gobbler's Knob. Stupid tradition. Six more weeks of winter. Or we're going to have early spring. I'm a groundhog.
Groundhog Day. Outside my window. Groundhog Day. Behind a tree.
Yeah! A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
When you think he can't get better.
Is it our goal
here we go.
To drive the audience away actively to say,
are
please leave?
The kids insist. What are you even talking about? It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. It's 919. The Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. You can call about Groundhog Day, Super Bowl, anything else on your mind. What's first?
Well, we've had a running conversation for a couple of weeks about the best movie weapon ever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a top 10 list, and we found some other ones that we thought might have been in there instead of Robin Hood's bow and arrow.
Yes.
And this is one.
The best weapon of all time is Chuck Norris. He is the best weapon of all time.
That was a very popular email and phone call suggestion the day we had the topics, because how do you argue with Chuck Norris? Let's face it.
I didn't know Rachel Ray before Omar started hating on her. I had no idea who she was. Apparently she's a chef, a fat little chef. I don't know. Annoying for sure.
Hey, I guess this one's for Omar. I just came back from the Albertsons, and on the cover of the National Enquirer, it has Rachel Ray, big picture of her, and it says the lies, the tears, and the violence. Was she married to Omar?
See? The website, how many five-year-olds could you fight?
How many five-year-olds could you take in a fight?
Could you take in a fight, yes.
Mike can easily beat up 50 five-year-olds. Five-year-olds. Come on, guys. All you people, Kevin, Bean, Ralph, if that is your real name, who think you can't beat up 55-year-olds, you guys are a bunch of pussies. You must have got your ass beat tons of times as kids and don't know how to fight, obviously.
I wasn't here for that conversation, but I'd like to suggest 50 doesn't seem that out of out of line.
You would be so out of breath by the time you took care of the first 30, and then there'd be 20 fresh 5-year-olds that'd be ready to pull you down and hit your head and they could hurt your back.
Somebody's uncoordinated, clumsy, gangly 8-foot freak would be out of breath.
Oh, I wish we could try it. I wish we could put you in a room with 55-year-olds.
Somebody has been beaten up by a lot of 5-year-olds.
I know.
Bean, even to this day.
Kevin, you're misunderstanding. Of course a 5-year-old is easy to take. Of course two 5-year-olds would be easy.
Simple.
5, 10. But once you start getting into 30, 40, 50, that's a lot of people. They're an angry mob. And these are 5-year-olds who are trying to kill you.
I could beat
100. They're not playing.
I could beat 100.
You could beat 100.
Yes.
Okay.
Lisa May is forced by her contract to read certain commercials. And we think that they're screwing with her. We think from time to time they throw in when they go, listen to Lisa, she's going to actually read it.
Could you please not have pounding some bruise chick read diarrhea commercials? It's very unattractive.
Kevin, you weren't here yesterday, but what were the spots you had to do yesterday, Lisa? It was a salve for every part of your body, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was something for itching. There was, you have the list, there was cortisone.
Jock itch cream or some type of powder.
Yeah.
Kaopectate for diarrhea and pooping.
We had that one.
Then herpes cream.
That's right.
And they were all pretty much everything. I don't know.
Why the bodily fluid tour?
I don't know. It just came up that way.
And why did they think of you as their expert spokesperson for these products?
I'm sure there are other people in L.A.
We
reading
say
these
stop
commercials.
It. I've not heard one.
You only
just
listen
you.
To me.
That's true.
Hey, was wondering, who's that dumbass I keep hearing on the radio? Do you know who I'm talking about? Do you know, I think his name is Bean. Do you know? Do you know?
Do you know?
Nice. And this one's the same topic.
Just say the word. Do-do-do-dio.
Woo!
Very nice. Because that's Phil Collins, who's bad on every level.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of him, long time of the show. And, oh, my God, if you put the goddamn Armenian comedian on anymore, I'm going to bash my own ears in with the radio from the dashboard of my car. Stop it!
I'm the best comedian teller, and I can't say these jokes on the air, but I would say better jokes that you have never heard from me.
You need to go to Dr. Good College to understand all of you stupid heads.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
You call us toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize. Today, it's a pair of tickets to the NHRA CarQuest Auto Parts Winter Nationals at the Auto Club Raceway at Pomona. That's on Sunday, February 10th. We don't have time today, but remind me tomorrow to have Lightning come in and explain the contest at KROQ.com where you can win a drag race with Lightning. I need to find out.
Yes.
Why?
I need to find out more information about that. But give us a call right now. Let's start with Frank in Downey. He's on line 4. He's calling about a topic that took up much of our show yesterday, and that's how many 5-year-olds could you take in a fight? Good morning, Frank. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby?
What'd it do, Frank?
How many 5-year-olds?
Actually, it was 10-year-olds, and I took on 6.
Yeah, but 10-year-olds are way stronger than 5-year-olds. I mean,
exactly, but I took on, like, 6, and, it was crazy.
So how do you translate that to 5-year-olds?
Well, I mean, it's half the age. I mean,
you can do really? Okay, wait a minute. So it's half the age?
Okay. Frank, what were the circumstances where you were fighting 10-year-olds yesterday?
Okay, I was walking down the street, and my neighbors, they have a lot of kids, I guess, and then they're a bunch of troublemakers anyway, and I was walking down the street, and then they start taunting me, and I'm like...
Wait a minute. And you couldn't take that taunting from a child?
What were they taunting you with? What were they saying?
They were saying that I was gay and stuff.
You showed them by beating them up.
I don't take no crap from no one.
Why would you beat up 10-year-olds for calling you gay?
I wasn't actually intending on fighting them. I just went up to act tough. I wasn't actually going to go through with it. And then all of them just stand up and rush me, and I'm like, oh my god!
I think they did the right thing.
And then I started fighting them all off, and then as soon as I hit one of them, one of them started crying, and I guess the rest of them started backing off. And then, I felt really bad.
What is wrong with you? Seriously.
Well, I know that Frank and the 10-year-olds are going to be the undercard when we get Mike and the 5-year-olds together in the ring. I'm telling you, that's going to be a hell of a broadcast. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Wow. We appreciate that. Let's try Eric. He's in North Hollywood this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Line 3, please. Eric, what it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Eric?
You got a celebrity sighting?
Yeah, I seen Flavor Flav down at Bank of America.
Flavor Flav?
One time for your man. Everybody up in the house, one time. Let me hear you say Flavor Flav.
Did he have the clock around his neck?
He did have the clock, and that was a hilarious thing. But here's the thing about it.
Let me ask you a question first before you go on. Did the white people at the bank have any idea what to make of him?
No. Okay. Everybody was in total shock, not knowing who he was, because all the Hispanic and black people were coming up to him.
That's funny. Okay,
but
go ahead.
His clock didn't even work, so I don't know if it had batteries or not, or if they were dead. But he's got like 1,000 keys on this keychain, and I'm wondering, what the hell do you have to carry all your keys for?
Beat up 5-year-olds?
I probably, or maybe 10-year-olds, who knows, you know?
That's awesome.
But not only that, so he's wearing like these torn jeans, and I'm wondering if he can't afford them, because the Flavor of Love show did so bad.
Are you high? The Flavor of Love show did great, those jeans are in, dude.
See, ripped jeans are in?
Yes.
From the ass?
Well, they've only been for 10 years.
I thought those were out in the 80s.
Well, they came back, dude.
It is funny, by the way, that thank you for the call very much. It is funny that Chuck D, who really is one of the great lyricists in rap history, he, I mean, the genius who created Public Enemy made them one of the most important bands. He's anonymous now. Nobody remembers Chuck D. Nobody knows who he was. He was the architect of that sound. Flava Flav goes on TV and bangs a lot of ugly chicks. He's the biggest star of the world. America adores him. He's coming back for a third season of Flavor Love. It's just, who would have ever predicted that? He was
Rightfully just the clown
of that group.
Rightfully so.
That's funny how things turned out.
All right, let's go to Jay in Riverside. Good morning, Jay. What's up? What it do?
Hey, what's going on? What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Jay?
All right. I want to know what happened with the petition against Ryan Seacrest on the Super Bowl. Because I remember when you guys started talking about it and then Ralph was like freaking out.
Yeah,
hey, we don't do petitions.
It's still way BS, but we didn't really think a petition would help. I mean, basically, Fox has the Super Bowl. Fox has American Idol. So they're going to start
like a million votes.
Dude, it wouldn't make any difference.
What about the millions that watch American Idol?
It wouldn't make any difference, dude. They're putting a red carpet at the Super Bowl, and Ryan Seacrest is going to be asking celebrities what they're wearing and if which team they want to win. That's going to happen at the Super Bowl.
I saw an interview, I read an interview, at least an excerpt from one the other day, where they were talking to Ryan about how he seemingly doesn't fit with the Super Bowl crowd.
Really?
He claimed, if I read it correctly and remember it correctly, that he played high school at one high school football at one point.
Yeah.
That he was a fan of the game and knew something about football.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure that's what he said. I don't know what that has to do with, you know, being on the red carpet talking about what people are wearing.
He may have said that, but it's not true.
It doesn't seem like a good fit to us either.
That is so true, Dick.
Yeah, it's not Dick. Let's go to Chris in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Chris?
What's going on?
Hey, I want to talk about that movie Strange Wilderness that's coming out on Friday.
That looks so funny.
I'm excited.
We talked to Steve Zahn today.
Yeah, I saw that about a year and a half ago at a test screening.
A year and a half ago?
Yeah, we've been waiting for it to come out for some time now, and it's...
Do you remember whether it was good or not?
Oh, it was hilarious. Matter of fact, I'm going to see it again on Sunday.
All right.
I bet it's even better now because they usually do a little work on it.
Hey, Ryan Seacrest's friend, why are you going on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to be on Big Bear all weekend.
All right. Just checking. Super Bowl, you know.
It does kind of seem like maybe there's something else to do that particular day is all we're saying.
What?
That's all
what
I'm saying. Super Bowl is all
I'm
saying.
I have lunch plans. What are you doing?
Yeah, sure.
All right, and I think that's probably a good one to end on. I want to thank, speaking of Steve Zahn and the movie called Strange Wilderness, thanks to Steve for joining us on the program. The film opens up everywhere on Friday. Also, thanks to New York Giants number one supporter John Cryer from 2.5 Men, airs Monday nights at 9 on CBS. John believes the Giants will beat the Patriots. We'll see, I guess. Tomorrow, big show, you bet.
Tomorrow, an all-new show, which athletes are the toughest?
Oh, yeah, we've been waiting to do
this. We've been arguing about this behind the scenes for quite some time. It does come down to two, football and hockey.
At least in our minds.
In our minds, yeah. And it's clearly hockey.
Well, I know Ralph says football, but that's interesting because I think it would be so difficult for football players to play hockey for obvious reasons. I think it would be so difficult for hockey players to play football. I mean, they do seem like in many ways they're very different skill sets.
Yes.
Nothing to do with the argument. Thank you.
Nothing to do with the argument. Also, a friend of ours saw a UFO and has video.
Oh, I can't wait.
And it's up at krock.com. And while you're there, check out the new picture the Lightning put up of the Wheel of Celebrity Voices. That's up there.
So
you can have a look at that. And you can have a look at Eli Manning. We have two pictures of Eli Manning. If you haven't seen them yet or you don't know what he looks like and why we say he looks like a seventh grade retard, look at those pictures because that'll tell
you. He is a window licker slash mouth breather, that's for sure.
Yes. And Harvey Levin tomorrow morning telling us about the call that he got from Britney Spears.
Oh,
actually, I don't even know if he's confirmed yet, but we're trying to get him.
All right, that's all tomorrow, but stick around. Cat Corbett is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including some Nirvana, also Muse, the new one from Seether. Got some Nine Inch Nails, Incubus, White Stripes, and more after this on K-Rock.